This episode of Rob's Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Rock Auto. Whether you need parts for a Porsche or spend your time watching Porsche on Big Brother, there's so many different makes and models of cars. It's impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions like, is your car an LX or an EX? And wait while the counterman walks to go back and look at his computer only to choose the brand that his warehouse just happens to have. You have computers at your home that can access rockauto.com at home and on your smartphone. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few clicks, delivered right to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Rob has a podcast in there, How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Hey, everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cesternino, and welcome to the Big Brother 22 live draft, where we are going to be looking for the winner of Big Brother All-Stars. We've got a great panel of drafters joining us here tonight to go through the cast of 16 locked-in house guests here with you tonight live, and I'm very excited to talk about it all. Let's welcome the panel, of course, a man who is up all night long. We'll see if that affects his draft strategy and performance watching the live feeds, so you don't have to, so you can get to rest. Here he is, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm sad, Rob, because
why?
We're no longer in hypotheticals anymore. We used to be in a world where anything was possible, and now we're in a world where we know reality. I miss the hypotheticals.
Yes, this is like the Schrodinger's cast.
Yeah.
Like Dr. Will and Dan could have been in the cast yesterday.
Exactly. And, you know, we opened the cast and, you know, some of them are not there.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say dead, but I thought that would be too dark.
Too dark. Very dark. Okay. Excited to hear everything from today, and then also we will have some talk about what happened on the live feeds. The next episode of Big Brother is going to be on Sunday night, but I'm sure if you're very spoiler averse, first off, there's not even nominations yet, so we could tell you like who's maybe in a little bit of a pickle to start things off. Don't tell Beast Mode Cowboy, but if somebody is in trouble, you might hear about it in this podcast. You can wait until Sunday if you want to come back. We'll understand. Okay. All right. Back with us for the second night in a row to talk about it. She loves the draft. Here's Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited for the draft. This is the one chance I have to win anything. I was telling you guys earlier. Because I have no chance in the stock watch. So this is really it for me. So I really need to do a good job. Okay. I'm very nervous.
Melissa, what seasons have you won the draft?
I think I've won it one of the Survivor ones, and then I won maybe one time for Big Brother, maybe.
Okay.
So, you know, even though this is my
but
one chance,
you don't
chance,
remember
I'm not
your winning pick?
I'm good at it. No.
Wendell.
Wendell.
Oh, I think I picked Wendell, and I think I picked Casey.
Okay.
So I think those are my two, but, you know.
Sounds correct.
So I have a chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I am not, you know, we'll see.
All right, hang in there, Melissa. Can't wait to hear what you come up with. Very excited to have here with us for the first time to draft with us the great Amon Adwin is here. Amon, how are you?
I'm great. I mean, talk about things to prove. You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of 0-2 right now because I made a bet with Puya and Taryn that Dan and Derek will be on this season. Clearly, neither one of them are on the season unless you count the mural in the kitchen. So,
yeah,
I feel like I need to redeem myself. So I'm here to compete.
Shouldn't Amon get credit, though, that they would have been on the season if it wasn't,
for that meddling Nicole Franzel.
And the important part of this story is that we made this bet like after sequester started, like long after they were both like, we're definitely not on. I'm pretty sure Dan Gieseling was on Twitch streaming at the time.
That's how he gets you, Taryn. That's how he gets you.
Nicole was on TV Co all the time. So you just never know. You just never know.
Yeah, but we knew. We knew about Nicole.
Okay. All right. And then here with us to draft his team, of course, the great Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. I have to say, I listened to the beginning of the show and you were like, some amazing drafters will be joining us. And I'm like, and also Brent will be joining us because I got Josh right. And it's been a minute since then.
Yes. So, but what a call that was. What a call that was.
That was an amazing moment. Yes.
Okay. All right. Melissa is having some intermittent connection issues, so we'll get her back here with us, and we're ready to talk about the draft. Of course, if you want to be keeping up with the live feeds, a couple different ways to do that. One, if you don't have them yet, you can jump onto robiswebsite.com/livefeeds, use the promo code PLAY, get 1 month free, and if you rather Taryn do all the heavy lifting. Of course, you can catch the latest live feed update. Today's update is already up in your podcast feed. Taryn will be back live again tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time with Puya Vizanvakili to talk about everything that's going on. Taryn, you have a quick update for us today on the action since the last update?
Yeah, preview for tomorrow morning. Puya and I will be collecting our $5. Cody has briefly talked about his plans for nominations with Nicole Franzel. And it seems like right now the very tentative plan is Janelle and Kacer.
Boo! Okay. Boo, boo, boo.
But there is a safety competition, which has the safety suite or whatever it is, that they are currently competing in as we speak. I believe that Janelle is competing in it because they have a choice of whether they want to or not.
She's competing. Oh, yeah, she's competing. By the way, can somebody explain this safety competition to me? Because, you know, I was trying to watch the feeds all throughout the night. So, obviously, I slept a little through the day. Whenever they explained the rules, I missed it. So, do you mind explaining the rules of the safety comp to Aaron?
We don't know the exact rules, but the guess here is that over the next 3 weeks, including this week, they are going to have one opportunity to compete in the safety competition. Anybody that decides to compete will compete. When you compete, if you win, you will be safe from nomination and you will have the ability to choose one other person to also be safe from nomination. That person will be, will have a punishment over the course of the week, but they will be safe. That's the competition. So they have 3 weeks to decide whether or not they want to compete in the fall. So what's happening right now is that a lot of people are like, should I compete? Should I not compete? I'm not sure. It seems like Janelle and Keisha may be two of the only people who want to compete. A lot of people are like, I don't want to have to choose someone in front of everyone else to be safe.
And also, I would think that they're thinking, I don't want to use my safety right away. If I have 2 more weeks, I'd rather use it and bank it so that I have protection if I need it down the line. So, I think there's a great possibility that only Keisha and Janelle are the only people competing unless Kacer decides to compete. So,
yeah, I'm wondering how like the decision mechanism will work. Is it like a thing where Big Brother comes up, you know, on the loudspeaker and they're like, if you're going to be competing, like raise your hand, because then will that incentivize other people to raise their hand?
Come on, you know better than that. Like they had during the Den of Temptation the Temptation competition, whatever the hell that was. They had to each go in the room and like drink they, something.
They
remember?
Each have mm-hmm. a VIP pass that they, I think, mm-hmm. need to swipe. And then they no longer have their it's VIP fancy. Passes.
I know. It does look kind of fancy. I kind of want one. They should put that in the merch store.
All right. So we will find out the results of that competition maybe later on tonight, certainly by tomorrow, and most definitely by Sunday night when we watch the episode. All right. So traditionally, the winner of the previous draft makes the draft order. Is that do I have that correct, Taryn?
Yes, that okay. is correct.
It's not my proudest moment. But 1 year and change ago that I did select Jackson, also known as Mickey.
For shame. For shame.
Not with my first pick, but I really thought all season I was going to win with Tommy. Took Tommy early. Thought I was going to win the draft with Tommy. Turns out I won the draft with Jackson, also known as Mickey. Took no pleasure in it, but I am the winner of the draft. And so I have a draft order for everybody here tonight. Okay.
It's a blood win.
All right.
For shame.
All right. So here's my draft order for tonight. Okay. I'm going to go with Amon is joining us here. Give Amon the first pick. Okay.
Ooh.
For Amon.
Yay.
And then, okay. then Melissa goes.
Okay.
Okay. Then me. Then Brent. Then Taryn.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So Amon 1, Melissa 2, Rob 3, Brent 4, Taryn 5, and 6. And then we go back around the horn. Okay. All right. So Amon, you can get this party started here with the first pick.
Okay.
You know it's not coming back.
First pick
now, there's
hard.
An obvious first choice. There's an obvious first choice. I mean, I've been talking about it since the beginning of time. But there's another one that I really, really want, and I don't know if I'll get the chance to get that one either. But you know, whenever I listen to these drafts, one thing that I totally empathize with is Brent's inclination to go with someone that makes him feel good. And not only does this person make me feel good, but her chances are also, I think, really, really good this time around. I have to go with Miss Davon Rogers. She will not come back if I do not choose her now. I think, like we've been kind of saying all preseason, that she's in one of the best positions going in. I think she does have the thorn in her side of Nicole. But from what we've seen so far, Nicole seems to want to at least make amends. It's you know, sort of like a battle of like, will Davon allow her to make amends but still sleep with one eye open and corral more people to her side so that in the eventual future when Nicole Franzel has to get the boot, will she have the social capital to get her ass out of there? And I think that she will. So I am going to go with Davon. I think that she has been wanting this for so long. She's wanted to come back for so long, and she's here to win this time. And I mean, Cody's the first HOH. Cody has already told her that she's good. So I feel good, at least for the first week. Let's see what happens moving forward. But I think that she's a really good pick.
Okay. All right. Any response from the panel about Davon?
I like that pick.
I don't know if I love the pick. I love the fact that you're going with my my mantra of picking somebody that you love. But I do think there was a non-zero chance that you could have gotten Davon on the bounce back. She had said it herself, Amon, that she can't keep her mouth shut sometimes. And this is going to be a stressful season, just like any Big Brother is. And also, she's hanging out a lot with Bailey, and the house guests are already starting to put them together. Now, look, I will say that I don't think their friendship outside the Big Brother house is all that close, but nope. Perception can be reality in the Big Brother house, and she needs to watch her back, because I think there is already a possibility that people are looking at her as somebody who is close to Bailey. Between the two of them, I couldn't tell you who might get evicted. If they end up on the block together at some point. But I'm hoping it's not anytime soon. As far as win equity goes, though, if she could get to the end, I like her chances. It's getting to the end. Like, Amon, she's never won. Has she won anything ever? Like, ever. Ever,
ever. She won the last laugh.
The last laugh.
on Big Brother, no. She has not won anything on Big Brother. But, I mean, people talk about her.
Okay.
Her time in the challenge. I don't necessarily know how much that translates to physical competitions for Big Brother. But in terms of just like, I mean, people forget that physicality isn't the only thing for Big Brother. There also are the mental comps as well. I think that she stands a really good chance. She almost won the endurance comp back in BB18 before she made that deal with Frank and Nicole and taking her hand down. So I think that she definitely has the strength to win. And I think more, now more than ever, this is the season where she'll prove that.
All right. I like it.
I like the pick. I think it's good.
I agree. I think she's in a good spot. I think she comes in with a lot of social capital. I think that a lot of people like Davon from what we've seen so far. Everybody has said, I like Davon. I want to work with Davon. Nothing is really solidified yet, but nobody's coming for her. Nobody's super worried about her except for her, as Brent mentioned, her connection to Bailey. There are some people that are worried about Bailey. And they did have a moment earlier today, very touching moment. But Davon was like in tears.
Wish that happened in private. Yeah,
exactly. When it was in front of people, she was in tears about like wishing that she had been there for Bailey when she needed somebody after the game. And it was a nice moment. And they hugged. But I think even Bailey was like,
"Girl, no, take it back a notch.
People watching us right now." So that connection could spell trouble for her, but I think that she still has a long way to fall before she really gets into any danger. I haven't seen her do much yet to prevent a fall, but I think she has so much built up. She has so much, runway to spare that I think she'll be okay.
Okay. Melissa, any feelings on Davon, number one overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's doing really well so far. The only thing with Davon is that I always feel like she starts the game off really strong with like great connections with people and like and just like very like calm, cool and collected and like just kind of seeing everything that's going on. But then I feel like there's always some sort of like moment, like a tipping point where it's like, okay, and then it just kind of falls off the edge, where I'm hoping that that's not the case this time. And I'm hoping that she kind of just like keeps it all like together. But I do feel like Brent said, she even said that she like can't keep her mouth shut, and that's kind of what I'm worried about with her. So, you know, I'm excited to see where it goes, and I do think it's a really good pick, but you know, we'll see.
Brent, what did the chat think about Davon number one overall?
They liked it, but I do think that they understand where me and Melissa are coming from in terms of Davon having a little bit of a problem with her mouth and not being able to keep it shut. Like, look, I empathize with Davon. I feel like Davon and I are kindred spirits. If somebody is irritating me, I'll let them have it. And that's kind of how Davon has been in the Big Brother house. And here's hoping that she can be a little bit less that way in All-Star season I'm on.
Okay.
I feel like if you can survive the boot camp that is a partnership of Stephen Bear, you are prepared for anything. So I'm just really excited for her, and I think I'm really excited about her chances.
It took me a second. I don't watch the challenge, and I was like, what? What? Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I understand what you're saying.
All right. Melissa, you are on the clock for pick number two.
Now, Melissa has told the chat that no one's going to see her pick coming. So I can't wait for this.
I see, here's the thing, is I know I'm going to pick it, and then you guys are all going to be like, what? Why? And you guys will all be like, thank God, like, because that was going to come around again, and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That's usually what Taryn says.
That's literally what's going to happen.
I would never have said that. Guys, sure. Come on.
But, like, you know, that's why I don't like being second, because I feel, or, like, even first, because I feel like my picks are usually kind of strange and off-putting, whatever. I'm just going to go with my gut. I'm going to do it, whatever. I am going to pick somebody that I've been very impressed with throughout these live feeds and just from what we've seen so far. And someone who I didn't think twice about, and now I'm kind of like, okay, I see what's going on. And the chat just guessed it. Someone in the chat, Noah, guessed it. It's Memphis.
I'm picking Memphis.
I've been very impressed with Memphis so far. I feel like he's really intelligent and has grown up a lot since his first season. I think number one, he did the little maze. Yeah, obviously he didn't do so well in the first actual HOH competition, but he did show that he was like kind of physical. And I feel like he's been able to make connections with both like the older generation and the newbies throughout just like the brief time we've seen him on feeds. I really liked his conversation this morning with Kevin. And I really liked his conversations throughout the night. And I just feel like he has the ability to bond with multiple people. I've also heard Cody talk about like, I'm just waiting for Memphis to come try and talk to me to create something. So, I mean, whether or not that actually pans out, the fact that Memphis is being spoken about as like, I would like to work with this person, or like possibly we will work together, is a good sign. And I've also heard people, multiple people say, you know, I really feel good about Memphis. Memphis is a cool guy. And that's key in the beginning. So, you know what? I'm going with Memphis.
Okay. Memphis goes number two overall. Taryn, how are you feeling about Memphis at two?
I feel great about Memphis, to be honest. I completely agree with what Melissa is saying.
Melissa, look at this.
Wow.
Look at this.
I'm not so bad after all, huh?
I might not have let Memphis go by me if I had the chance. Everybody that's talked about Memphis so far on the feeds has been like, I love the guy. I just want to like, let's pull in Memphis. Yes, I agree. I love Memphis. Let's pull him in. Like everybody. Melissa's completely right. The new schoolers, the old schoolers, pretty much every group. He fits in everywhere and they all want him on board. He still has the same strategic mind he had in season 10. He has not lost it. You can tell by the way he talks about the game with people like Janelle. And I think he has a lot of options, and I think he's smart enough to know that he's kind of waiting and seeing like, where do I want to go? And I think he's well positioned to slot himself in to a really good spot.
Brent, could he keep it up though? It's day two right now. Can Memphis lose his cool at some point?
Oh, definitely. He's a bit of a hothead as well. I don't think that on an all-star season that he's going to be just chill Memphis the entire time. Like we've seen him for like 24 hours, not even. I think that there's definitely a possibility he could lose his cool. Also, no tea, but this is a guy that lost 7-0. Like not one person on his original jury decided that they wanted to vote for him. As far as like, you know, this is a win draft. You have to win in order to win the draft. You don't get anything from people getting far. Like him actually winning a draft, like, are these people really going to award this old guy the win? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm a little suspect about that. I don't think it's a terrible pick. I think Memphis is going to go a long way in this game. And I don't think that anyone's necessarily going to come for him. And he doesn't have an obvious, you know, partner that people are going to associate him with. That said, I would really question the win equity at the end of the day.
Aman, how do you feel about Memphis here?
I'm worried about Memphis. I mean, he really doesn't do a lot of, he spent most of the past 2 days talking about, you know, his restaurant business, which is fine. I mean, build your connections, talk about your personal life. I get it. But is this kind of what we're going to see for the entire season? Like, is he going to be able to
spend 24 hours
comp?
On? So, oh my God.
I can't believe he was talking about his personal life.
I mean, I get it, but like, I just feel like, I mean, this is your second time back. You really, and he was winded from that first HOH competition. I'm like, really, guy? Like,
he's shaking the rust off, Aman.
Like, I don't love the pick, but I'm like, the shade, Aman.
I'm just being real. I mean, I just figured like he would have a little bit more wherewithal during that competition. And it was sort of like, kind of like, really, Memphis? I felt like this would have been your thing to win, like a whole minute just to cross that path. I don't know. I'm worried. I feel like he'll probably go far because of the fact that he's probably going to sit back like he's been doing for the past 2 days. I don't think that he is one to join the fray unless someone brings him into it. I was a little bit worried about him talking about Keisha today, you know, mentioning like he doesn't know if Keisha hates him or not. And I'm like, I'm just a little bit worried. I don't hate the pick either, but I do have a little bit of pause when it comes to Memphis.
Well, I also think with the Keisha thing, I think that if he's saying that they aren't super close. Like, I feel like that might have been a concern. Like, oh, they were on the same season. They're super close, yeah. whatever. And then him saying like, well, we're not super close probably helps him, especially if if it's actually not true and he like does have some sort of connection with her, or if he can like patch things up with her and maybe work with her or whatever. I do feel like the fact that he's telling people that like, we're not close at all, I don't even know if she hates me, then like, that's a good thing for him. But
yeah, I don't buy that for a minute that that there's any bad blood between Keisha and Memphis. Like, you know that they both talked to Dan ahead of time and that they were going to be on the season. And like, I mean, it's been 10 years since, you know, what, or 12 years since what, Big Brother 10. Like, I have to believe that they're good right now.
I don't know. It was my understanding that both of them came into this process late. And I don't know if they were incommunicado. Do we have any sort of like conversation to imply that they were talking?
No, not yet. Memphis has said repeatedly that he was contacted 3 weeks ago, which means you know, less than a week before quarantine started, I think. So you know, that's pretty, not a lot of time.
Yeah, he said he was in Mexico like a month ago. So
yeah, but also they didn't take away their phones right away in sequester. Like, they still had their phones for like the first 5 days of sequester. So like, I still think you would really have to convince me hard that they haven't talked, because I have to believe that they have. And even if they haven't, you know, again, you're going to go with the devil you know. I feel like that Memphis and Keisha are probably pretty good.
All right. Let's go on to pick number three, okay? I have pick number three, and I'm excited because this person was my winner pick for this season, which I have not announced. I'm excited to see his return to the game. I'm hoping he could fly under the radar and finish the job that he started in Big Brother 11. I'm going to take Kevin at number three. Give me Kevin Campbell.
He was my second pick. Man.
Kevin. I think that Kevin has a great social game. I think that he really knows the strategy. He's fun to be around. And I think under the radar, low key, could be really good in these challenges. So give me Kevin here at number three overall.
Yeah, I like that pick.
Okay. Now,
I was going to pick him.
Taryn, the only thing that gives me pause here, I feel like that positioning here in week one, I'm a little worried.
Yeah, it's very, you know, honestly, it's pretty similar to how I remember him playing in Big Brother 11. He's not being super active. He is being very cautious, and he is approaching the people that he gets along with the most. That was always kind of his MO. He's kind of a player that works with just a couple of really close allies that he bonds with really closely, and then kind of tries to ingratiate from there with a bigger group. So what we've seen so far is that he's been spending a lot of time with a specific group of people. In particular, he just talked with Nicole Anthony, and that's, you know, an alliance that we predicted as offbeats. And they are now hopefully going to be working together. He does not have a lot. He is not being like a social butterfly. He is not connected to a lot of people, but that's not terrible for him. He has enough connections that I feel like people would take a second thought before targeting him or putting him on the block, but not so many that he becomes a big target. And I think he can slide by for a while. We know he has the chops strategically, competitively. I think that Kevin is somebody who is not going to be running the game anytime soon, but could definitely be a late game dark horse.
Yeah. He's the classic Big Brother player of laying the weeds for a while, and then around middle of the game, maybe could get a foothold, start to take control of what's going on. The question is that, can he last to that point in the game without getting up on the block and voted out for not being in the controlling power of the house? Anybody really down on the pick?
I'm not down on the pick necessarily. I'm more middle of the road on it. I do think that, and this is going to sound kind of shady, but I'm going to keep it real with you guys. Like, I do think at some point that the house guests are going to look around and say to each other, like, we're all stars, man. Do we want some floater like Kevin Campbell, who some of us don't even know, to get to the end? Like,
Who's saying that?
Rob, I swear it'll happen at some point. Now, that will be like, I don't think that in their heart of hearts, they really care about that. But I do think it'll be an argument used against them. Like, do we really want this guy to get to the end and represent our season? I swear that happens on All-Star seasons. They don't want the chafe to rise to the top or whatever the phrase is.
Other than Janelle, who is saying that?
Talk to me in 4 weeks.
I mean, they're kind of all being kind of cagey and gun shy right now. And I feel like until like this first nomination ceremony or maybe after the veto, that's when things are about to pop off. I feel like sides are eventually going to form, and I feel like Kevin will be on one side and he will ride the low game on that one side, and then the people at the end of the game will vote for him if he makes it that far. That was going to be my first pick, but I had to go with my girl Javon. I completely agree with everything that Rob said. I think that he is just, I think he knows how to play it. I feel like his game really wasn't that bad the first time around. It was just that one damn HOH competition at the end. Yeah. And if he has won, he would be the
winner. Game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we go to Brent.
Yes.
See what Brent has cooking up besides the Pizza Hut spaghetti that he ordered.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm sure the doorbell is probably going to ring right in the middle of my selection here. I won't keep you in suspense. I am going to select Bailey.
Bailey, number four.
My selection in the RHAP draft of 2020. Bailey is my pick. And like, I see the chat. The chat's like wanting me to pick Danny. I ain't picking Danny. Are you kidding? Like, Danny plays with her heart. And even though that's how I would play, I'm not going to pick somebody that plays with their heart. I'm going to pick somebody that plays with their head and can keep their temper under control. And that is Bailey. I feel like she has learned from her original season. She didn't totally realize what show she was on the first time around. She was talking today on the feeds, and she was a pageant girl, and they asked her to do Survivor, and she said, oh, I would die if I did Survivor, and then they basically asked her to do Big Brother. Like, that's basically the way the story goes. And so she even talked to Tyler today, and she was like, you know, you played the game, but I didn't understand what game we were playing back then. I didn't understand that. I do think at some point, so this is basically, I'm taking the other side of Amon's pick here, because you know at some point, like week four, week five, week six, they are going to put Bailey and Davon on the block together. They're going to do it. I swear it's going to happen, and it's going to suck like hell, okay? I think Bailey has more connections than Davon. I really do. I think more people would want to keep Bailey in the house than Davon. I think that she would survive that, and if she survives that, I think she's golden. So I like Bailey's pick here at number four. Watch her win, y'all.
I think so far Bailey's doing a good job, although I do feel like she's the opposite of what you said, which is someone who doesn't play with their heart and can control keep their cool. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is like the opposite of Bailey. I think she does play with her heart, and I think she does, I mean, or at least last season she played, had a little bit of trouble with the, you know, controlling or keeping her cool, controlling your temper, whatever it would be at the time. But I mean, it's totally possible that this season it's totally different. And I have been impressed by what she's been doing so far, but I am nervous that, like, I mean, it does seem for everybody that people are kind of like falling into old habits. Like, people who said, like, I'm going to play it differently, it's like totally different now. Like, I mean, with Tyler is making final twos with everyone, and you got like Ian being all like Ian-ish.
Jittery.
I just feel like everybody's, and Nicole already is like kind of like being ostracized, it seems. I don't know. I just feel like it's like everyone is kind of falling into their old habits, which is like, I'm sad to see it, but you know, I mean,
that's what happens on reality TV.
Yeah.
I see the chat. And the chat is like, there's no way that they would put us Davon and Bailey together. Well, you know, this is like when I see like 20 people all say it at the same time, it's a little annoying. Like, they're like, there's no way they're going to put up Bailey and Davon together. They're just not going to do it. That would be seen as not kosher in 2020. Don't buy it. I swear to God, if they're still there together week four, week five, they will put them on the block together. You watch. I know things. Okay. I know reality TV, and they're going to want to win. They're coming for blood, and I think there's a large chance they will be on the block together. Iman, do you disagree with me?
I just don't know if Bailey is prepared for this. I feel like she is out of her league right now. I honestly do. I feel
the
like
shade.
She.
Really?
I look, it's not if we talk about how this is, you have to win the draft, right?
Okay.
I'm not saying that she cannot go far. I'm not saying that she cannot have a better placement than her BB22 or BB20 run. But as far as winning the game, I just don't know if she is seasoned enough in comparison to some of these other players. I just feel like she right now is kind of like at a standstill. She doesn't know if she can really trust Tyler. She does sort of have like the Davon connection. She did do something that I really liked today, and that she kind of like broke up a conversation between Cody and Enzo in the HOH room. But I honestly don't know if she's going to be able to find her footing fast enough before somebody else takes her out. I feel like she is waiting to, she's, I feel like right now she is overcompensating like everybody else and trying to wait for someone else to make the first move. But at this point, it's All Stars. You cannot do that. You have to be the one in the driver's seat. And I don't know if she wants to do that right now. And I'm scared for her. I really am. I would love for her to do well. I'm rooting for her. But
don't you think that her, like, I know, I take your point on the fact that, she doesn't want to make a move right now. But don't you feel like her move, like, that move is going to be made for her ahead of time? Like, so we're going to come out of the safety competition. Likely, Janelle, Keisha, some variation thereof is probably going to win. Safety may choose each other. Cody's going to have to make a selection. It's not going to be from her. And then, like, the war is on. Like, I mean, at some point, these nominations are going to come down, right, and she's going to have to pick a side. Yes,
I just want to follow the logic of your thesis, because you say that, like, hey, listen.
Don't
try. This house, I'm telling you, week 4, week 5, they're going to put up Bailey and Davon on the block, and Davon's going to go home. And then Bailey's going on to win?
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to pick people that are going to be in the game late game to give myself a chance to win. Mm-hmm. Two of y'all have already picked the people that I was going to pick. So I'm still trying to look for somebody else that's here in the game that could still be there at the end of the game that I personally like and enjoy. That's the other thing. Like, is Cody probably going to be there? Probably. Is Tyler going to be there? Probably. But am I going to pick him? No, I'm not picking him.
I agree with you. I think that she is definitely someone that is trying to come into this, correcting some of the mistakes. And I liked the conversation between her and Tyler too. That was really reassuring, that she was like, look, you were playing your game. I didn't get at that point in time. I get it now. But I worry if that's going to be like her shtick for too long. Because I don't want it to be. I want her to sort of like grab the game and run away with this. I just don't know if she'll do that.
Oh my God, it's been a day. Like, y'all are talking crazy.
Yeah, but that's all we can go off of.
It's been a day. Well, I'm using my fortune-telling abilities. My crystal ball's right here. So,
she makes the move, and she makes the move and she goes away with the game, or she waits too long, and then she reverts back into old Bailey and is like, gets pissed off at the next person, and then it's like,
there are many things that she will do. The one thing she will not do is revert back to old Bailey in terms of that scene that we saw with Tyler. I think that she wants to erase that. That's not going to happen. If that even comes close to happening, she's going to be like, I ain't going to do that this year.
I don't even mean it like that. It's so much in like the blow up, but just like trusting the wrong people with information and like, winning something and then like letting
that
person know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I like the pick. I was going to pick Bailey.
Thank you, Terry.
As your first pick?
Okay.
Chat is coming for me. Please
help. Pick, Terry?
Taryn, can you talk this through?
I was going to pick Bailey as my first pick because I had two in a row, and I thought, like, let's shock them.
But Taryn, talk this through. Do you see it the same way? Because I feel like that I don't mind Bailey as the pick, but I think that the prophecy of the Davon and Bailey on the block, Davon goes home, and that's what propels Bailey on to the trajectory to the win, I feel like is kind of like a bank shot off the moon.
Yeah, I mean, look, the thing about Bailey is that I think that she has a good social game. Like she is one of the people in the house right now who is most active in terms of talking with people. She is not afraid to say, hey, Cody, can we talk? And that's pretty big. I think that, again, she you know, I've talked about this a lot. She has a lot of upside. We at one point in Big Brother 20 gave her an 8 out of 10 rating because she was positioned so well in the middle of two different kind of groups between Faute and Level Six. She was very well entrenched, and then she blew it all up and she, you know, initiated one of the biggest stock crashes in the stock watch history. So she has a lot of upside. She also has a lot of downside, but I think that she has learned a lot. She's played on the challenge now. She's, I do think that she can come in and if she doesn't end up crashing in the way that she did before, I think that she will be underestimated and I think that she can make it far.
All right, we're four picks into the Big Brother draft. Taryn is up next with two picks. We'll be right back to the action after this word from a sponsor. Those are our friends over at Sunday Lawn Care, who sponsored this episode of Rob Has a Podcast. Summer is here. Everybody's getting a lot of use out of their lawns, but I see a lot of people out there that have lawns that look like the Big Brother 1 and 2 house when they really let the lawn get out of control and all beat up. But you don't have to have a lawn like that anymore with Sunday, the new startup designing easy to use lawn care products with your family in mind. Sunday makes taking care of your lawn easier than ever. You go to their website, you type in the home address. It's really cool. It ends up giving you satellite imagery of your property. It is amazing that it's going to show you exactly, okay, it's looking at your house. It's telling you what you need for your lawn. You'll feel like you're in a movie where the scientist guy is like, okay, well, this is exactly what we need to do. Like Ian Terry is going to figure out the recipe for how to get your lawn looking better. Their free lawn analysis tool is going to take care of the rest. In seconds, Sunday will give you a custom lawn plan based on your soil, climate, and lawn, and they'll send you everything you need to your door with free shipping. Sunday is going to explain exactly what you're getting, and more importantly, they explain why. And you don't have to be a lawn care expert like Donnie to know exactly what's going on. You don't need expensive equipment or a green thumb to get your grass healthy again. With Sunday, it's as easy as attaching a nozzle sprayer and watering your lawn. Lawn care could cost you hundreds of dollars or take up your whole day. Now it takes less than 15 minutes and your grass will never look better. You don't need to know everything about soil, grass, or micronutrients to have a great lawn. If you're not 100% sure what your lawn needs to be green, no worries. Just get Sunday. Visit GetSunday.com for $20 off your summer plan when you use the promo code RHAP20 at checkout. That's GetSunday.com, promo code RHAP20 for $20 off your summer plan. And now back to the draft. All right, Taryn, first of two picks for you. The chat, the listeners are all with bated breath to find out which two players you're going to go. We'll hear the first of those picks now.
You guys really made this tough for me. I've been staring at the cast for a little while. Here's the thing. You left this person to me. I have to take him. Kacer!
All right! Hey.
I was not expecting that.
Kacer.
Wow.
Cody has been corrected. He now knows it's Kacer and not Kacer. Thank you to, I believe, Nicole Franzel for that.
That's too bad. I kind of wanted him to continue saying Kacer.
All right. Taryn, can you tell us about the strategic objective to 2021 with Kacer?
Look. If Kacer wins this game and he was not my number one draft pick, I'll forever regret it. It'll always be there. I'll be like, you know what? I could have picked Kacer number one. I could have believed in him, but but I didn't. So I have to believe in him. I think that Kacer's not in a great spot right now. I think that he could end up being the first boot, but I love Kacer. I think that if he survives, if Janelle leaves and he doesn't, I do think that he can be forgotten. I think that he can slide back in somewhere. I think he has the respect to be able to win a jury vote. I think that he is not threatening enough without Janelle there to make it far and not be targeted. So I went for it.
Yeah, I cannot co-sign this one. I wish I could support you, Taryn, and you supported me with Bailey, but I cannot necessarily support this one. Look, I'm being real with you guys. Like, I love Kacer, and I understand Taryn's picking with his heart a little bit, but my gosh, I've seen Kacer talking with a few different people in the house. And I would be lying if I felt good about it. Like, his energy is so different than some of the people in the house. And I also think that Kacer's a little bit older, and he's also a little bit more deeply thinking. Like, he's just a little bit more of a nicer guy than some of these narcissistic, you know, idiots in the house. And I don't know that he can necessarily really get along with some of these people. He feels out of place. And I do think that Janelle Keisha is going to win safety. I don't know if they're going to save each other. I don't even know if he's playing the safety competition. He should, but if Janelle is safe, I really do worry about Kacer. Like, he definitely could go home first.
Melissa, how do you feel about Kacer?
I love Kacer, and I love watching him and hearing his conversations. I think he's really smart, and I think he thinks I just feel like he has a good read already on certain things. Like, I mean, when I forgot who he was talking to, it might've been Danny or someone was like, oh, I really like Tyler. Like, and he's just like, yeah, no, but that's his thing. Like, he
yeah, Danny.
To
yeah.
like him. Like, that's Tyler. That's the way he plays the game. And I like that he's already thinking about that. And I like, you know, that he and Janelle kind of have their little quick conversation and then they move on. And so I really love Kacer. I want him to stay. I don't want him or Janelle to leave, especially not first. So I'm going to be really angry if they do. But, you know, I am worried because I do think he's attached to Janelle in that way. And I think Janelle is a huge target. And I think the fact that the two of them, I mean, people were already complaining about how people were fangirling over Janelle and Kacer. So I feel like that's already something people are like not cool about. And so I'm worried about him. I hope that Taryn's right. And I hope that he makes it far and I hope he wins, but I'm just,
oh yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, again, show me a world where Kacer wins Big Brother and I'll be a happy man. Like, that would be awesome. But, you know, like, as far as, like, I calls him as I sees him, I just don't think it's going to happen. I'm on. I really don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he has a lot of the same upside that we were talking about with Bailey. And, like, they both know how to talk. They can, like, talk about anything and they will, like, have anybody in the conversation with them. I really enjoy that about him. I like the fact that he walked in on Tyler and Cody talking about running through the house and running through some pizzas. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, telling everybody, oh yeah, Cody and Tyler, like there's something going on between the two of them. I do like that, but I do hate the fact that he's telling people like Nicole Franz all that kind of information. It's like, why would you do that? Like, I just feel like he doesn't necessarily know all of the connections in the house, and that might be his downfall. I do agree with you though, Taryn, in that if he can survive, he will most certainly be forgotten. I think that he'll be the front page story one day, and then he'll be like, you know, in the back of the newspaper the next. So if he can do that, I'm willing to like buy a ticket for the Kacer train. I'm really scared right now. I'm just scared. I mean, of course I want him to do well, but I'm just scared. It's a really risky choice.
But it was a hard choice.
You non-believers.
Yeah.
you don't have faith. Look, I know what it's like to pick the Jacksons of the world and win. What does it do for you, Rob? What does it do? When I look back at my Big Brother 21
Taryn,
draft,
I was a year ahead. I had to do Jackson so I could set the draft order and then win this season.
Oh,
this
yes.
Year.
When I look at my Big Brother 21 draft and I see Ovi and I see Cammy, I look back and I say, I picked a good draft team.
Right.
And I'm going to pick a good draft team this time as well.
Okay.
So with that in mind, though, I'm looking at the field again. I'm caught between two choices because one choice is Nicole Franzel, who has won me a draft before, but again, to very little praise. And the other,
so you're saying that you feel like that you haven't gotten enough credit for picking Nicole Franzel? Like it's much like Nicole Franzel. You feel like you're the total package, and people haven't recognized that
with drafts. Look, I am choosing to be. I'm choosing not to be the Nicole Franzel of this draft. But the other choice, obviously, Tyler. I've always regretted choosing Winston over Tyler. Granted, neither of them ended up winning, but yeah.
I should have had a
upset.
Big Brother 20 win also. That if anything, that, you know, I should be mad at Tyler, you know.
No, that's my one win. Don't take that from me.
Tyler screwed me.
So I'm trying to think, like, what's the better story? Can I be a two-time winner like Nicole is a two-time winner? Or can I get redemption with Tyler? And I think I, again, would rather be loved than hated. And so I'm going to pick Tyler for my second one.
Okay. All right. Tyler falls to six. Second round pick for Taryn. All right. So obviously we know Tyler's a great player, but the question is, can he somehow figure out a way to get to the end once again? Is anybody super down on Tyler's chances?
I'm not super down on his chances, but I am not feeling amazing about his chances.
You don't feel amazing about his chances?
I know,
right?
That was the tear out the front page. Like, what's happening here? Like, look, I'm being serious. Like Tyler, he's already being talked about by the house guests as, you know, like we know his game, we know what he's capable of. They're already putting him with Cody, and like Tyler is the far more charismatic presence between the two of them. And if they're looking to get rid of somebody, if they're fearing somebody, I feel like they're going to fear Tyler over Cody. So now, look, I don't think he's going to go anywhere in the near future. But as far as like actually getting to the end of the game, I feel like these house guests do not want to get fooled by Tyler again, like the people two seasons ago. I think he's going to be mid jury, but he's not going to win.
Yeah, I'm worried about Tyler's chances because it does seem, I mean, number one, it does seem like he's falling into old habits about like making final twos with everyone. I mean, I've seen
how many final twos did he make today, Melissa?
I've seen him in so many conversations
right?
with every single person, not just being like, we should work together, but being like, you and me to the end, you and me to the end. It's like, you literally said in your intro package
that's
that you
just
made
an expression,
too many
Melissa.
Promises. It's not just an expression.
Not just an expression.
People take that like seriously. So I do think he's making too many promises right away. And not just simple promises. Like these are promises that like it's either like you're in the final two together and you're working together, the two of you, or you're not. And I also feel like people are already onto his game. I mean, I said like Kaser already was like, okay, that's Tyler's game. And I feel like other people are like, Tyler's a nice guy and all, but we got to watch out. So I'm worried about his chances just because people know how well he did last time. I mean, he's a really strong player, and I think people are on to his style of game. So
yeah, I will say that in defense of Tyler, that Amon, I did notice he was talking with Christmas earlier today, and he was talking about the fact that him and Christmas, you know, they need each other, need to work together because Josh and Casey are not here, and they, you know, it was brought up, and he was like, yeah, but it could be a good thing that they're not here. Because, you know, people like that would be an easy foursome that people would put us together. And, you know, now they're not here and nobody's going to put us together. So I feel like he is aware of the sort of wounded duck persona that he has within the house.
It's bird. Why duck?
Whatever.
Where did duck come from?
I don't know. Duck was in there somewhere.
Backpack.
Whatever.
He's going to work with Ian.
I think that I was trying to, was it bird or puppy? And I couldn't remember, so I just said duck.
The in-between, I guess.
I mean, the point being, go ahead, Amon.
Oh, man. Like, if you had told me...
Because you love Tyler. You like Tyler.
I love Tyler. If we had this conversation yesterday, I'd have been like, oh, sign him the check. The 500K is his. I mean, he's going to run this thing. But I have been frightened because of his actions today. Because he did have a lot of one-on-one conversations with quite a few people today. That being said, is this the story of people are onto his game, he's out of here, or people are onto his game, but I still feel good with him, therefore he makes it to the end? I'm having a hard time, you know, figuring out which one it is. I honestly feel like I think that Christmas with him is solid. I think that there's the potential for him and Bailey to squash their beef. I think that him and Cody are obviously solid. So I think that he is able, like, he has not lost the ability to convince people that he is with them. Just the people that he neglects, the ones that he thinks are too far gone, are they going to be the ones that are going to be able to get him out before he can corral them in? And I feel like that's a big possibility this time. I feel like if he doesn't spread himself thin, then he's screwed. But if he does, then I don't know what to do with him. I need more time. Honestly, I need more time.
I think he's off to a great start. I think that if people are feeling like that, he is like, oh, he's missing Casey, that they're right where he wants them to be. He doesn't have a showmance to distract him this time around, that he's singularly focused on winning the game and redemption. And if people aren't gunning for him from the start and he gets his foot in the door and gets these connections with all these people, I think he's set up very well. That, yeah, I don't know if he can go the distance, big target on his back, but he got his foot in the door and people aren't looking at him in week one.
Yeah, here's how things should be going for Tyler. He walks in the house, everybody stares at him because they saw what he did in Big Brother 20, and they go, we're never going to let this guy get far. Let's target him early. Let's, the second he tries to make a deal with anybody, they run to a group and go, Tyler just tried to make a final two with me, guys. He's up to his old tricks again. This is what's actually happening with Tyler. He was the first person that Cody went to be like, bro, we've got this. He then spent today cycling three different people into the photo room and being like, we're running this to the end, right? And none of them have spoken about it to anybody else.
Yeah.
I think there is a major misconception with the idea that you play too hard, too fast, and it will come back to bite you. If you play messy, it will come back to bite you. But people that play hard in the beginning consistently make it very far in the game. I've been on record season after season saying it. I don't think that this kind of gameplay is something that you need to be particularly concerned about. I'm more concerned about the people who aren't playing very aggressively right now. Those are the people that are being left to hang out to dry.
Okay.
But it's All-Stars, though, and we haven't had an All-Stars in 14 years, and I just don't know if this is the time for him to, like, repeat his cycle and win a win. Taryn, I want to believe you so bad. Like, I want this so bad. Like, if it's not going to be Davon, and it needs to be Tyler for my personal spirit, I just don't know. Well,
so, it's an interesting argument, because that we've seen a lot more of how an All-Star season works on Survivor. We have a good sense of, like, oh, okay, they're going to get rid of the big threats, and they're going to, like, it's going to be somebody that's probably, you know, unexpected who ends up coming in and winning. And then this time around, we had Tony, who really was able to sort of convince people that he was sort of laying low, and then really turned it on and was able to get past that. We only have one data point for what a Big Brother All-Stars season looks like, but that was somebody who did play very hard and aggressively.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I do think it's going to be a rough road for Tyler. I do. There are people in the house who are looking at Tyler and they're being like, this guy's dangerous. We can't let him get very far. But they're not targeting him right now. And that's, I think, what, you know, we as fans often fall into the trap of, and I've said this before, that when you see somebody saying, oh, we got to watch out for this person, you equate it with, oh, they're in trouble. They're not going to get very far. But saying, somebody saying we got to watch out for this person is not that bad of a thing to happen for you. Mm-hmm. Because what they're not doing is saying, let's target this person next week. What they're saying is we have to watch out for this person because we don't plan on targeting them anytime soon. And mm-hmm. that's a really great place to be because it's exactly where other people think they have you clocked and they're watching you and they don't need to worry about you. The people they're targeting are in danger and the people they're not thinking about have the potential to be like, oh, I wasn't paying attention to this person. We should put them to the target list. And the people mm-hmm. sitting there in the middle of the threat level are just hanging out, is solidly there. So again, I do think that Tyler's going to have problems. I think that the closest analog to this so far, it reminds me a lot of Dan coming into Big Brother 14 and not comparing Dan to Tyler or Tyler to Dan, or the seasons really. But if you just look at the vets on that season, Boogie comes in.
That's Big Brother 6.
Yes, Boogie comes in, Brittany comes in, Janelle comes in. They're all skeptical of Dan because they saw what he did. Dan wants to work with them because he knows he needs to work with vets. Dan mm-hmm. is very charming. He gets into a room with them. Brittany coins the term mist because when he enters the room, you're just like, he's so nice. I just want to work with him, but I know mm-hmm. he's dangerous. And that's exactly what's happening this season. Danny came into the season, I don't like Tyler. I hated him one season. I wanted to target him when we came in. But he's so nice. She keeps repeating it. Tyler seems so nice. Like, I don't want to target him anymore. She says it to Kaser, and he's like, yeah, but that's why he's so good. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're kind of right, aren't you? And it's just, I swear I'm being brought back to the early days of Big Brother 14. I don't think that Tyler is a lock to win. I don't think he's a mile away front runner like he used to be on Big Brother 20. But I think he's doing a pretty good job. And I think we'll see what happens.
It's a fun story to follow here in Big Brother All-Stars. All right, Brent, you have pick number 7. Of course, Brent yes. went with Bailey in round 1. Here he is with pick number 2, number 7 overall.
Ooh, wow. There's like 3 people that I really feel good about, and I like their chances. I'm just trying to pick the smartest person, like not smart in life, but smart in terms of Big Brother strategy of the 3 of them. And I think I'm going to have to go with... I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with Danny Briones. I love Danny. I can't help it. I know that she's coming after my faves right now. But I freaking love her. And if I ever have to bet on somebody to win a competition, I gotta bet on Danny.
Well, who are you saying she's coming after?
Oh, right now, she's not having it with Janelle. She seems a little annoyed that people are starstruck with Janelle and Kaser. So she's been pushing for Janelle to be nominated and targeted. She wants her out. Her and Nicole Franzel don't feel great about Janelle. And really, it's Danny that's doing a lot of the pushing. Which, of course, is not what we wanted. We wanted Danny and Janelle to work together. In fact, that was my fanboy dream, is for them to work together. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think she's... Here's the thing. I don't think Janelle's going to win this season. So I think Danny's going to eventually get her way. And when she does, I feel like she's going to be really set well in the game. She has good relationships with people in house. They are listening to her right now. Kaser, Davon, Cody. They have at least a warm relationship with Danny, to the point where they share information and don't anticipate targeting each other anywhere in the near future. And Danny is just somebody that, if she can tame her itchy trigger finger, as I would call it, then she can really go far. Now, the question is, has she learned from her mistakes? Does she think what she did in Big Brother 13? Does she think that was a mistake? I don't know that she does. And if she doesn't, that would be a big problem for me, because I think that she pulled the trigger on going after Brendan and Rachel and Jeff and Jordan way too soon on Big Brother 13. So on Big Brother 22, I'm hoping that she can tame her wild instincts and try to pull it back. But as far as somebody who knows strategy, who understands competitions and how to get through the end game of Big Brother, I really think you have to like Danny Briones' chances.
I really like Danny, but I'm very worried about her because it seems to me, I mean, look, who knows? It's first day of feeds, whatever. But it does seem to me like she's working with Nicole Franzel. And Nicole Franzel seems to to me, or at least she said to Cody, that she's planning on creating some sort of like alliance or fake alliance with the girls, but then is going to tell him everything. And I'm worried that that's the truth. And she's going to create some sort of alliance.
No, yeah, that's the truth. Yeah.
And then go to, and then immediately go to Cody. And so I'm worried that Danny's going to trust Nicole and it's not going to end well. So I'm a little concerned that she seems to be really close with Nicole F so far. But you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I think she does trust Nicole. And I do mm-hmm. think that's a problem. That said, I do think that I think that, you know, typical of people's opinions of Nicole, I do feel like there's a bit of an overreaction. The sense that I got from the Nicole's conversation with Cody was that Cody brought up first that he's very skeptical of Danny. He thinks she's very smart. He thinks she's sneaky. He's worried about her. And kind of giving off the vibes of like maybe she would be a good first target for him. And quite honestly, she probably would be a better first target for him, than Janelle and Kacer. But Nicole is friends with Danny and is working closely with Danny. And the sense that I got was that Nicole does genuinely want to work with Cody, perhaps more so than with Danny. But I think that she was trying to kind of protect Danny by saying, you don't need to worry about her. I'm going to get in good with her. I'm going to make this alliance to keep these people that you're worried about, like Christmas, because he also mentioned he was worried about Christmas. I'm going to make an alliance with these people. I'll let you know what they're doing, so you don't have to worry about them. Please don't target them. I'm not overly concerned in that regard, but I do think that her trusting Nicole is a bad thing in the long run. Especially if she tells her too much information. And I have not seen her making too many other good bonds. And I think that's really the true thing that I'm worried about.
I love Danny. She's so much fun to watch in Big Brother 13. That she's really funny. That I just don't know if she can go 85 days without making a big move that might end up really tanking her game. That's the concern.
Well, look, it's an all-star season, so like I feel like if there's ever a place for her to make a big move and for it not to come back and bite her in the butt, it's probably an all-star season. Yeah.
You know, I saw Dominic Briones was tweeting there was a question of like what is your favorite player gonna do in one GIF, and he had like a picture of Daenerys. Coming in, and like I could see a similar sort of like we thought it looked good for a while with her too, you know what I'm saying, like it ultimately like she makes a big move that doesn't go great too, and I could certainly see her having her Dracarys moment in this house, but I also don't see it ending with her being the winner of this season.
I hear the bells, Rob, the bells.
Yes Danny, we did it, like hold off, like no, hold on,
no,
I still got something up my sleeve. Yeah. So
yeah, she's really aggressive. Like even last night when, you know, no one wanted to leave the HOH room, and then Tyler, who had already like, because they were all staying up under the guise of like, oh, we don't know if the DR is going to call us. Tyler had already been called to the DR, and yet he was still sitting up in that HOH room. And she says to him, like, why wouldn't you go to bed, Tyler? Are you scared? I'm like, woo, this is night one already. She's already throwing the barbs. But I mean, I kind of like the pick. I feel like she's so disarming with her honesty that maybe she can ride that all the way to the end. So I'm actually not that opposed to Danny.
Okay. All right. So it comes back to me with the number 8 pick overall. And this is a value pick. Not my first choice, but here we are. It's the second round. We're halfway through this draft. Number 8 overall, and I have to feel like that this person is very good value here. I'm going to go with
my brother Cody.
I mean, Cody Calafiore is sitting there, and he is the HOH. People love hanging out with this guy. Is he a master strategist? No, but he's very non-threatening. People come to him. People like to work with him, and I think he's got a good shot at this thing. So, is it going to be the Taryn Kacer love pick? No. But could I use some goodwill with the Calafiore family? You better believe it.
I was going to pick him next. So that's a good pick.
All of those reasons that you said, Rob, plus he's pretty. Like he's really pretty.
Handsome guy. No doubt. No doubt.
He really is. Like, I take your point.
Nobody's ever called him ugly.
Yeah, right. And look, nobody's ever called him mean either. Like, he's a really cool guy. People like hanging out with him and they like his personality. I do remember on Big Brother 16 that sometimes he did have a little bit of a temper and like Derek would have to like, you know, hold him back. But I don't think like that's not his nature. I feel like when he truly gets riled up is he going to be like that. So assuming that that doesn't happen, which it probably will happen, but assuming it doesn't happen often, I think you can keep it under control.
Yeah, and he's going to work with the guys, but hopefully he also has some relationships with the women. And if he goes up on the block with another guy, hopefully it's the other guy that goes home and people don't worry as much about him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that he's in a really good position because he's not looked at as the mastermind of his alliance. Nobody's looking at him like, oh, that was the guy we had to worry about. Like, Tyler is that guy. Cody is not that guy. And so if they're ever together, if they're ever, you know, put together by the house, they're going to look at Tyler or somebody like Tyler and not Cody. They're not going to worry about him necessarily. And they should worry about somebody like Cody because he's really non-threatening. He's very good socially. People love hanging out with Cody. And if there was somebody that I wouldn't want to face socially in a against a Big Brother jury, it would be Cody Cagliari because people just love him so much.
And I'll tell you what he's not going to do here with his first HOH. He's not going to come away from this with like, all right, I'm going for the big game hunting here this week. He's going to come up with something, I think, that is going to be not get a lot of blood on his hands. He's going to build a consensus. He's going to talk to people that this isn't going to be like a Cody Nixon, the other Cody of HOH week, where everybody comes away from week one being like, oh, my God, Cody, what a jerk.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Cody is definitely one of the top picks, if not the top pick on the board. I think that he came in as that. He's not ruined it. I think that he probably played the best pregame. I think that he came in. He won the first HOH. That's good for him. He hasn't, again, he hasn't screwed that up yet. He's been making solid connections. He's got a great social game. He's underrated as a strategist. I think that he's a very, very dangerous player, and I think he has a great chance to win.
All right. Melissa, we are back to you here in the second round with the 9th pick overall, with Amon on deck for 2 picks in a row at 10 and 11.
This is really hard because there are pros and cons with everybody left.
A couple of people, maybe no pros.
Yeah, maybe. no, but I'm leaning towards somebody, but I feel like this somebody is too similar to my other pick. And so I'm kind of like, am I making a mistake by picking people that are so similar that like, or maybe it's one of those things where it's like, it's better to pick similar people because one of them.
And for the reminder, Melissa picked Memphis in round number 1 with the 2nd pick overall.
Yes. I'm just going to pick Enzo.
Oh, right.
I knew you were going
meow
to.
Meow.
White squall.
I'm excited to see Enzo back. I just feel like he's funny and he's entertaining and people seem to really like think he's a fun guy to be around. And I feel like that'll carry him. I mean, at least in the beginning, you want to just be the fun guy, the guy people like, not the annoying guy, but the guy that like, you know, is just fun to have around. And I already feel like people have been saying that they like, you know, oh, Enzo's a fun, like Enzo's fun. I like hanging around Enzo, you know, whatever. And he doesn't really seem threatening. And then, you know, I feel like he fits in with the older crowd. And also he seems to be fitting in fine with the younger crowd. Janelle already talked about how he could be like her Howie. And then also like Cody was already talking about working with him as like a bros thing. So I do feel like he's got some good ins with everybody. But I don't think he's going to be one of the first people out because I don't really see him as a threat. So I'm just, you know, I'm a little worried because he's very similar to Memphis in that he's like one of the old school players who's a guy who's, you know, whatever. But oh well.
Brent, yeah, can I just ask a quick question? That is, was Enzo's head always this big?
He lost weight, so that's why.
Yeah,
that's part
too much
of it,
weight, I think. His head is.
He looks good though. He had his shirt off. He looks good, Rob. I look. I like this pick as well. I was considering picking Enzo.
This picture.
What?
Okay. Sorry.
I think unconscious zone in the chat has it right, where he or she says that Enzo's the kind of guy you wouldn't mind giving $500,000 to. Like, I feel like that's certainly true. So I don't really worry about him winning a jury vote or having the chops to be able to do that. It's getting there. That's the problem to me. He's not a comp beast. On the other hand, does he really need to be one? The one thing I don't like about the season so far, and it's only been 24 hours, so there's that. But it does seem like Amon noted, and Melissa noted, that people are really falling back into old habits. And of course, you know, the Meow Meow is already talking with Cody and Tyler about, some guy thing, and everybody is doing their same old, same old. Like, is there no one who understands changing up their game a little bit? But on the other hand, a lot of these people made it to Final Four, Final Three, Final Two, or even one. And so they see no reason to change up their game. So I like the pick, and I do think that Enzo's here for the long haul. I really do.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like if he continues doing what he's doing socially, I feel like he's probably going to make it far once again. And like Brent said, does he even really need to win any physical comps to make it that far? I do feel like maybe towards the end, he should probably think about winning a few.
I do feel like he needs to. Yeah, but he's going to need some blood on his hands. If you won an HOH at some point during the game, Amon, I feel like that would be good for him, especially if there's like a consensus house target, because he could not have won at the end of his original season. He thinks he could have, but he couldn't. People saw him as too much of dead weight. He's going to have to prove himself, especially in an all-star season, that he belongs.
Yeah, and I feel like the point of like not alienating the women is also really strong in that, like, one of the last images of your game is you along with the rest of the brigade letting Brittany know, oh honey, it's not going to work out for you. It's like, sorry. I feel like if you do that same thing where you're trying to do this guy thing, I just don't know if that's going to fly. I mean, if it gets him far, fine, but I don't necessarily know if people are going to want to award you the money for that. So I hope that he can have a bit more of a well-rounded approach to that strategy.
One of the things I was looking for from Enzo this season was, can he make some close personal bonds? And I have not seen that yet. He is great in a crowded room. He is so good. He is great.
Life of the
even
party.
Just talking. Yeah, like anybody can talk to him and they'll be laughing and it'll be great. But there's no personal connection that's going on. And that was his problem in season 12, is that he didn't have a parachute. He didn't have any of those close allies. And his closest allies chose each other to go to the end with. And that's a problem that I'm seeing here with Enzo. You know, Cody was talking to Nicole about, you know, I'm just waiting for Enzo to come up and do the, you know, bro thing. Like that's just how they see, like they, that's how they see Enzo. Like,
got one move.
Like, there's nobody's like, Enzo's my ride or die. Let's go. I'm with Enzo all the way. He needs that. I think there's plenty of time for him to get it, but, but I actually don't love how good he is in these big open settings because people see it. It's very visible and you have nothing in private to really back it up. So where he did the last time with the brigade, he doesn't quite yet. So I think he's okay. I don't think he's in trouble anytime soon, but win equity is something that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that best case scenario, Enzo could be like a fan favorite, could eat up a lot of airtime on the TV show, that he's a clown. I think that that he's going to do crazy things in the house. And I think he could get a lot of segments like on a Wednesday night show of like, have you heard this thing about that Enzo's doing? But there's no nuance to his game. There's no subtle manipulation from Enzo. And I just don't see against a house of all-star players that the Enzo game is going to work, where Enzo ends up being the winner at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you have Tyler sucking up all the final two deals, when one person gets five of them and then everybody else has to deal with what's left, then it's even harder.
Yeah. I think that his win scenario is that he's like in the final three with someone who's hated and then ends up getting the, not that he played such a great game over the other person. I think that he could end up being a person who ends up like a hated person drags him to the end as a goat. And they say, no, we liked Enzo.
Possibly. Or I think he could get to the end against somebody else who's particularly hated. And, you know, maybe like, you know, the last HOH is usually like some sort of crapshoot. So I think that, I think that Enzo could win. It's just he's going to have to play a little bit more aggressive, less behind the scenes than he originally played on his original season. Although I do take Taryn's point, makes a good point about the fact that as far as like personal conversations, I don't know if I remember Enzo even having those on his original season. Like he's got to be able to connect with somebody on a more personal level.
Okay. All right. It's Amon time. Amon, you get two in a row. We'd love to hear who the first of those picks are to close out the second round, number 10 overall.
Okay.
let me also set the stage of who's still on the board. We have right now, still, there are two men that are still on the board. It's Ian Terry and David Alexander. There are four women still on the board. They are Janelle, Christmas, Nicole Anthony, and Keisha.
And Nicole F.
Nicole F. Sorry, both Nicoles.
You forgot Nicole F? Oh my gosh, she's going to call CBS today.
I was trying to read them in a random order so you wouldn't know what my draft board is. Things got crossed out. But it's getting a little sloppy.
I am going to choose Nicole Anthony.
All right.
Yay.
Okay. Nicole Anthony, I think
that she is the definition of a waste of an HOH. And I mean that in a good way. I think that you put her on the block, everyone else is asking you, so the other one needs to go home, right? Because why are we sending Nicole Anthony home? That might make it seem like she is a player of no agency. I don't think that that's the case. I think that she had a very good run in BB21. I think that she was, you know, targeted in the beginning of the game and then was able to weasel her way out because there were bigger targets that emerged. I think that that is likely to happen once again, but she is also a girl who can save herself if she needs to. I think that she's good with the comps. I think that she's good with people. Everyone likes her. The Danny and Nicole thing does scare me. That does scare me, but I don't know if Danny and Nicole are going to have the power to be like, no, she's got to go. I feel like people are going to look at them and be like, really, Nicole Anthony? If y'all don't put freaking Janelle up there, if y'all don't put Cody up there, if y'all don't put somebody else bigger than Nicole up there, like, I just feel like she'll stay. I feel like she'll win out at the end. I feel like she'll have a story. I feel like people love her. And I feel good about Nicole Anthony.
All right.
Yeah. She's in a good spot, I think, for the most part. She's connected to Kevin. I think that's great for her. She's connected to Kacer, which can be good for her if Kacer stays. I think that she can work with Ian. I haven't seen much of it yet, but Ian likes her, and he mentioned her to Nicole Franzel. And really, the problem is Nicole Franzel and Danny. And I do think that is an issue. It is a reason to target her. It makes it easy to just go, all right, let's do this. If Nicole or Danny win an HOH and they need somebody that won't make too many waves to target, I think Nicole is that person right now. And I think that will be a cause for concern. That said, I think that she is simultaneously overrated and underrated at times as a player. But I think overall probably underrated. But that's as an underdog. That's as somebody who is fighting to survive. She's never really played from the top. And I'm really curious to see how she plays it from here. The win equity, again, though, is something that I'm concerned about. If she's not an underdog, does she have the juice to win a jury vote? I'm not sure.
See, I could see her being targeted. I know, Mon, you said she's a waste of an HOH, but I'm thinking if I'm HOH, that I feel like that Nicole Anthony is the easiest person to get out of the house. I'm going to put her up on the block. I say, Nicole, I love you. You're the best. Nothing personal, but, you know, I just had to. We didn't really connect. And she's not going to be, like, storming around the house like, you know what? Screw Rob. He's going home. Everybody, like, she's just going to take it. And I think that she's an easy mark to get out of the house.
I feel like she's not one to storm around the house because she's going to tell you not to put her on the block in the first place. I mean, she went up to Cody today and like had like a little brief conversation with him. And Cody was like, okay, you're good. Like, you're good. And I feel like she can continue to do that week after week. I mean, it's going to be a little different story, like Taryn said, if it's Danny or Nicole that is sitting up there. But I question as to whether or not Danny and Nicole are going to win HOH and get her out before they get out themselves. So I feel like she's in a really sweet spot right now.
Here's an unfortunate reality. Here's an unfortunate reality for Nicole regarding the safety suite. Let's say Janelle wins this competition and chooses to save Kacer. Janelle and Kacer are now off the board. The other options that Cody mentioned were Keisha and Ian. Nicole Franzel pushed back pretty hard on both of them. I am very willing to bet that Nicole Franzel will be pushing hard for Nicole Anthony to be a replacement instead of Keisha or Ian, or maybe even next to one of Keisha or Ian, and that her and Danny will try to round up the votes to get her sent home. I could see Nicole Anthony still at this point in time being the first boot.
Muy interesante.
She's definitely the backup for the backup, right? It's kind of like, you know, we have to wait and see what's going to happen. I do worry about Keisha. Because she is someone that's sort of like in that same spot. Maybe Nicole goes before Keisha. It's a fair point. I'm just willing to bet that that's not going to happen. I just feel like, I mean, especially because only Janelle or Kacer are going to be safe, right? Like one of them, like both of them can't be safe unless they save one another.
Yeah, but honey, Taryn, tell him.
If Janelle wins this, she has to say, I mean, I, like, you want, I know you want to like not be seen as, but if you think that you were about to be put up, you know, it's going to be next to Kacer. You have to save Kacer there.
You think Kacer tells her not to and wait for the veto?
Oh, yeah. Don't save me. Please don't save me.
Maybe not Kacer's worst move.
I think it's feasible. Janelle was talking to Keisha before the feeds cut for the competition, and they basically convinced each other to play, which was kind of a funny moment because they were like, wait a minute, what did I just do? You're probably fine, actually. You don't need to play. I could see a scenario, depending on how this comp plays out, where they make a deal with, if they're the only two people competing and they're competing with each other, where they That's make a deal I with the, each happen, other to yeah. save themselves. But they were also speculating that this might take place in the have not room. And if that's so, it might be an individual, like one by one kind of competition, which also seems feasible to me. So it could go any which way. But if Janelle wins and if she saves Kacer, then, you know, there are a few steps involved. But I do think Nicole could be in trouble.
Yeah, I'm very taken with what Rob said, and that's why I was not persuaded to take Nicole Anthony. I think there's a couple things going on. Number one, like you said, she doesn't really have any ties to anybody. If Cody's looking to get out a consensus target, and Janelle and Kacer are through the veto or through some other reason that the safety suite are safe, I do worry about Nicole Anthony. Also, the fact that she has like Nicole Anthony is not totally pure this season, in that, like, you know, we viewed her last season as totally pure. I love him, but she Eric Curto is Nicole's best friend who runs Reality Recaps, and there's been a little bit of drama within outside the house and within inside the house about the fact that obviously they ghosted them for their podcast, and there's some under the radar story about what really happened there. So
can I ask one question about the podcast ghosting thing? Like, I feel like it's, and this happens, like you reach out to people, not everyone's interested in being on a podcast. It's like, no big deal. But why are they, that they, when you say they ghosted, were they booked to be on the podcast and they no-show?
Or they reached? I'm thinking.
No, they just didn't respond to her message.
It sounds like that she sent the message, they didn't answer. Why are they mad at her? It's like, oh, we ghosted her for the podcast. Now we have to get her out. She didn't do anything. She just invited them to come on the podcast.
So I think they're worried about her being mad at them.
The reason they didn't respond at all and they didn't even read the message is because I think they don't like the podcast or the people on it.
They don't like Eric.
And I think so, like Nicole Franzl in particular, she has beef with Eric Curto. And so when she's reached out to be on the podcast and she doesn't even respond to it, she feels like the message has been sent. Like, I'm not doing that podcast. I don't like this guy. He's said bad things about me. And so they like, there's beef there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fairness, to Eric Curto, Nicole doesn't like Brent either.
Yeah, exactly.
So don't make this about Eric Curto.
It's not about Eric Curto. It's just the fact that it's about the perception in the house. Like, or it's just about the perception that Nicole Franzl has. If Nicole Franzl perceives that there's some beef there, that she has sent a message to Nicole Anthony, then it doesn't even matter what the truth is. It just matters that she thinks there's something
and
there.
We had Nicole as a guest on this podcast after
Nicole. Which one?
Nicole. Nicole Anthony talked with Taryn after the season. But we had Nicole Franzl and Victor on after the Amazing Race. After we agreed that Brent was not going to be on the podcast, and then it was fine. So maybe if Nicole said, "Hey, if you have a problem with Eric, he won't be on this one," or whatever.
Right.
So she's amenable.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if Nicole knows Nicole Anthony knows about this beef.
That's
because
the thing.
She doesn't seem to have any idea, and she's also like talking about Eric. Like, she's referring to him in open conversation, like other people are talking about Evil Dick in open conversation with Danny walking around. Like, not always the best decision, I think, at times, but it's happening.
Yeah, I'm just worried about Nicole because it seems like she's not really connecting with everyone. I think that there are certain people she's connecting with, but especially with like the larger conversations, or like, you know, it just seems like there are some people there who aren't big fans of her and who, you know, are, I'm worried about her chances. I'm worried that it's going to be another situation where she's on the outs again and she can't like find her way into like the big group or like even a strong group. And so I'm worried. And, you know, like you guys all said, like, she doesn't have any strong connections going into the house. Like, yeah, sure, she could probably make some while she's in there, but everyone else seems to have like somebody that they're connected to. So I'm a little worried about her chances.
I want to also add that another thing going against Nicole Anthony is that reality stars, and I'm not speaking from personal experience, they hate new hotness. Where here's Nicole Anthony. She went to the end. Fan favorite among a unpopular cast. Runaway fan favorite. She's the you should have won person from Big Brother 21. There are going to be other players that don't like that. They want to take her down a peg. And I could certainly see Nicole Franzl being one of those people, especially that she has the same name as another Nicole. She's a fan favorite. She's a threat to some of these players who want to be the face of Big Brother, and no better way to get rid of a threat than to pluck them instantly from an all-star season and throw them to the side. Good luck podcasting now. Ha ha.
Yeah. I think that's very real as well. Just to be clear too, like the podcast thing is not like completely speculation. They mentioned it on the feeds, and Nicole released a podcast.
Which one?
I listened to it myself. Franzl. Nicole Franzl.
Yeah, Nicole Franzl has a podcast too.
Yeah,
and she probably registered Nicole has a podcast, and now this could be tied up in litigation.
Yes, she recorded it prior to entering sequester, I believe. And in that podcast, I haven't listened to it myself yet, but apparently there was a specific reference to this beef with a podcast that she felt wrongly insulted from.
She said, "Blind Item, there's a podcast that I don't like."
I think I read that her mom said it, but that they were talking about. I don't know. I like I said, I haven't listened
to it.
But
yeah, let me look.
It was
that
referred
up.
To. It was referred to. Apparently.
Wow.
I mean, this podcasting drama is interesting and everything. It honestly is. But I mean, Nicole Anthony's also been on Nicole Franzl's podcast as well. So I'm just like, I don't know.
I think that happened right after the season. I think that if I have the dates right on this, I think that she probably came off the show. Went on Nicole's podcast, and then when Nicole became a podcaster, maybe that's where the rift started.
It did. But are they going to really blame Nicole Anthony off for that? Are they just apprehensive because they ghosted her when she asked for them to be a part of it? And if Eric is keeping this drama of this beef a secret, which he might be doing because maybe she wouldn't have reached out in the first place, then Nicole doesn't have any animosity towards these two. And if that can come to light, who's to say that Nicole and Danny just drop it? You know what I mean? So I'm just not as like taken with this whole, it just seems way too superfluous for this to be the narrative of BB22. Like y'all are on All-Stars and y'all are talking about some podcasting drama.
And I take your point.
Original All-Stars?
Yeah, exactly. Like that's the thing. Like,
but it's Nicole Anthony. This isn't like someone that's like a firecracker. You know what I mean?
It doesn't matter. Like early on,
I think it does. I think it does.
With Nicole Anthony, I think it's with somebody who is a bit of a firecracker.
Exactly. So like, why are you gonna? Are you really gonna take it out on her?
I think it's an easy target. It's like, okay, well, we have this beef, like one sided it may be, but we have this issue. We're nervous that she might have this issue with us, or that she might have talked to Eric and gotten some intel about us. Even if she says, "Oh, we're good, we're good." It's, you know, it's hard to tell. So it's totally possible that they might be like, look, like, we don't want to risk it. This is All-Stars. Like, it's an easy out. She doesn't have any connections.
Yeah. I take that point. Like, I mean, a perception is everything. I just don't know if, like, they're going to be able to. I mean, the whole thing with the safety suite, that is cause for concern. I totally agree. I mean, but if she's able to survive through that.
Okay. All right. We'll see. All right, Amon, lost in all this is you have another pick. We'll see.
Okay.
I can't believe we spent 20 minutes talking about podcast drama that didn't even involve Brent.
It did a little.
A little bit, slightly.
Tangentially.
Yeah. Don't bring up Tangela, Julie.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right.
Ooh. I'm trying to
figure
out.
Come on, what just happened over there?
I'm trying to figure out if I want to celebrate the holidays right now or...
Yes.
If
celebrate,
I'm trying to go with a former winner, and I feel like
3-hour show. Baby. Amon,
yeah. I'm sorry, I cannot believe that this is about to come out of my mouth. I'm going with Christmas Avid, okay?
All right,
I thought about it, she's up there on my list.
Okay, talk us through this one.
Okay, I feel like a lot of people that I have seen online over the past couple of days have really, like, you know, they would have driven past Christmas before, but they're like backing up and they're like, wait a second. And they roll down the window and they're like, oh, okay. Look, the girl has a story. All right. She broke her damn foot on the first season. She was supposed to be this physical threat, but we never got to see any of it. Some of the HOHs that she won were completely handed to her because Paul made it so. I feel like she is the most non-threatening person right now that a lot of people are probably going to overlook. She doesn't have a Josh, okay? She does, however, have a Tyler who's doing a lot of work and is going, I think that she is probably one of the final twos that he will be most interested in keeping along. So because they have no reason really not to trust one another because both of their ride or dies that they wanted are out of the game. So I feel like this is a chance for her to really redeem herself. I feel like If she can stay out of people's crosshairs and if she doesn't blow up, because Christmas does have the tendency to sort of, you know, have a bit of a short fuse. But I feel like BB19, everybody had a short fuse. So that's wondering if in this more placid environment for now, will she be able to make deeper connections with more people and more people like the audience, like in that house, are like, you know what? I like Christmas. I mean, her and Bay are starting to get a little bit of, you know, closeness going on. She was, you know, sharing personal stories with Kaser and Tyler earlier today. I feel like there's a shot for this woman to really have the redemption arc that she is looking for. And I mean, honestly, when Josh shared that picture of them FaceTiming when they both found out about All Stars, and like the look of emotion on her face when she, because she did not think that she was going to get called back. I think that she
neither did we.
Seriously, I mean,
yeah.
I honestly think that she is not. She's here to take this competition by the balls and really, really just show that she can do all the things that she set out to do for the first time. And I think that she has the tools to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I agree about that photo.
You got when sucked
I
saw in that the story, photo, Iman.
When I saw that photo, I was like, okay, she cares about this. Like, I kind of thought, like, okay, she's back for her brand, like, whatever. But now, like, after seeing that, it shows that she really cares. Like, I'm very impressed with her so far. It seems like everybody likes her. Everybody's saying like, oh, you know, I really like Christmas. And, you know, I do think she's really good at the social aspect of this. So, you know, add on to that, that she now has her foot back. You know, I think she can go really far and I think she can do well. She was probably going to be my next pick. So I do like this pick.
Okay.
Yeah, like when Iman said that people have driven past Christmas in the past, I know many people that would like to drive over Christmas as far as getting cast on Big Brother. This is not somebody that I think a lot of people are going to be rooting for. I know that there are people in the chat that are like, oh, she's making good connections right now. People really enjoy Christmas. I feel like we're going to see the Christmas of Big Brother 19. Who is
the ghost of Christmas past?
Yeah, yes. She's kind of a hothead, and not in a nice way. She can be a little not so nice. So
I agree, but I feel like she mirrors the energy that you give her. You know what I mean? Everybody on BB19 was crazy, crazy for no reason, and it's because the culture of that house just whipped them all up. Right now, like, I mean, without like in a different space, in a different time, without the added aggression of like being like, oh my God, my foot is gone, my career is over, what does that do to you? I mean, she just had a baby and everything too. Like, this is a different person. I see a completely different person. And that's not to say that some of the old things won't come back out. That certainly will happen. But I just don't know if it'll be the same way. I just don't know.
I disagree. This is exactly what I expected from Christmas, because it's very similar to how she started her first game. She was doing pretty well. She was making solid connections. She was looking pretty impressive. She was a lot of people's like upper picks in the early days of Big Brother 19. And you know, yeah, things went wrong. I don't think she's necessarily changed from her original stint, but I think that without Paul there to influence her in a negative direction, if instead she's working with somebody like Tyler, who I think will push her a little more positive, I do think she will do better than her first time. But for Christmas, the main thing for me is that she has people like Cody who are worried about her, who are like, she's a ticking time bomb and she's going to go off eventually. Then B, you have the fact that nobody really respects her in the house. As a game player, she needs to be able to win respect in order to win a jury vote in the end. And if she's working with people like Tyler, I don't know who she plans on sitting in the end that she can beat. Sitting with in the end.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely saw a lot of like Paul running her game, right? Like, so does she have like the acumen right now to...
Also, you know, no tea, but didn't she basically give up? Didn't she basically give up at the end of Big Brother 19 and tell Paul to... Or Josh, I can't remember which one.
But that's because she wanted to win. Because she wanted to take. She just wanted to take a ride on the One Beard open sleigh at that point. Okay, like she was just completely like infatuated with Paul.
I think Iman just loves Christmas. He's got Christmas lights up at his house. He wants to say all the Christmas jokes.
Man, we should have called it.
Yes. Amon just loves the holidays.
Kaser to me. I do love Christmas the holidays. And I'm...
Yeah. Amon's team is Christmas Day, okay?
Oh, that's there you pretty go. Good.
Yeah. All right. Yes. All right, so Amon's draft, Christmas Day also, and Nicole Anthony. Figure out where she goes in there. Okay. All right. That's Amon's team. Amon is in the clubhouse. Melissa, you have your third and final pick.
Yes. Also, his draft is Christmas Day with maybe Saint Nick.
Saint Nick. There you go. Saint Nick driving the sleigh.
Yeah. So
it's backing up.
This is tough because I'm considering a former winner. However, I feel like they're not going to let someone become a two-time winner. I just don't think that's going to happen. And that's why I'm concerned for the two winners that are there. If there were more winners playing like we initially thought, maybe there'd be a chance because it's like there's so many of them. It's not really a big deal. But if there's two, like I said last night, like that's an easy target because, you know, well, they've already won once. We don't need them to win again. Easy. Like get them out. So I am concerned for the former winners. So that's why I'm not going to pick a former winner. And instead, I'm going to pick Keisha.
Keisha.
She's really under the radar right now, it seems to me. And it does seem like she's bonding with people. She's not really like out there right now. I kind of am like, wait, I never see her on feeds. Where is she? But the few conversations I've seen with her are good. And, you know, I remember her from her season and how great she was and how smart and like what a good read on the house she had. And the fact is that she was having some conversations with Janelle a little earlier that made me a lot or not a lot more, but I guess made me confident in her read on the house and the fact that she's not just like going to sit there comfortably. She's worried about herself because, you know, she's one of the like old school players, which already puts a target on their back. So I'm optimistic for her chances. So, you know, I'm excited about Keisha.
Okay. Keisha at number 12 overall. All right. What's the rosy picture for Keisha?
I think the rosy picture for Keisha is that people forget about her and that somehow she gets through this first week or so before the lines have been drawn and somehow survives. She's a really personable, great girl. She won America's Favorite for a reason. People enjoy Keisha in the Big Brother house. And if she can just survive the first, I'd say the first 2 weeks, then she can really do something, but she has to survive the first 2 weeks. That's really the key.
Okay.
Sorry, there's some feed updates. Yeah,
that's all right. Let's finish the draft, and then yes. after the draft is over, we'll hit the spoiler music, and then we'll update on the results of the competition. Okay, so just in case people are with us, but maybe want to wait for Sunday night for whatever reason, we'll get through the draft.
Seriously.
Look, I get the tweets, okay?
I know you do.
All right, so we'll wait. Give us 20 more minutes. We'll be done with the draft. Yes, Aaron.
Here's what's going on with Keisha. She has been, I think, struggling to fit in. She doesn't really have much of an in here. The most that she's been able to connect with people are Janelle and Kaser. And they're all targets right now. It's looking like the most likely first boots are either Janelle or Keisha at this point, depending on the outcome of this competition. And that's not great. That said, Keisha still got it. She knew that she was in trouble more so than Keisha, more so than Kaser or Janelle. She was the one that basically convinced Janelle, yes, you should compete in this competition, which I don't love. But I think she realized the mistake immediately afterward. But she was able to read it. She kind of understands what's going on, what she should be doing. The problem is that she doesn't really fit into the cast very well. I think she was a last minute addition. And she has a lot of extra work that she's going to have to do if she wants to climb her way back into the good graces. And I think, unfortunately, it's kind of a far way away.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't know who she is, too, Melissa. Like, there's like four or five people in this cast who were like, who is she again? Like,
which I think is good, good for her. I think that's good for her. Yeah.
I think it's good for her now. I don't feel like it's good because it's easy to get rid of somebody that you don't really know very well.
True, but I also think it's like they won't know what her game is. They don't know that she's a smart player necessarily. Like, they don't know what her thing is. All she has to do is say, like, yeah, I want America's Favorite. And then they'll be like, okay, so she's just like a loved character. She's not like maybe a good game player. We don't know. And also, like, you know, I just feel like she's... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the fact that she doesn't have those connections is good for her. I don't know. I see that as a benefit for her rather than a hindrance.
Okay. All right. Pick number 13 overall comes back to me. Time for me to round out my team. And it's an interesting spot on the board. There's some interesting players left. Two men, two women. Three people that are legendary Big Brother players, and one who we really is an unknown. Janelle,
Nicole
Franzel, Ian Terry, and David are left. And I got great value in the second round when I took Cody. And I think I'm going to double down on some more value. And I'm going to take future RHAP podcast guest, Nicole Franzel.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes, I am. I am. This is the 13th pick. And guess what? The fans don't vote on what's going to happen. And I don't think that there's a contingent in this house that's looking to target her at this juncture. And she's doing what she does. She's in good with a lot of people. She's going to suck up to the people in power. I think that people are afraid to make a move on her. And I think she's set up pretty well here to start the game. And let me tell you about something else that she does, okay? And I'm saying that this is a positive as a person who just drafted her, not a negative. But Nicole Franzel works the refs. And what I mean by that is that she's the person that's in the diary room complaining about the thing that's going to happen in the challenge before it happens. She is the person who's trying to get every advantage that she can from production. And I'm not, and this isn't cheating or anything like that, but she is going to be a squeaky wheel on every single thing. There's where I said with Nicole Anthony is going to, you put her up on the block, she's just going to take it like, oh, fiddlesticks, I got nominated. That's right. Did I say Nicole Anthony? That's how Nicole Anthony's going to take it. Nicole Franzel is not going to take that. You put her up on the block, she's going to be bawling. She's going to be crying. She's going to be working every angle she can against you. And she's relentless. She's not gonna stop. And I drafted her. These are positives for why I took her at number 13 overall.
No, I think she's in a really good spot, and I think she's doing well, like ingratiating herself with people. And I think that also she, even though she won, she comes across as very non-threatening. Like, I mean, just the way she like talks and behaves and like kind of beats herself up a little bit. I think that doesn't, I mean, you don't look at her or talk to her and think like, okay, this girl is like a serious competitor, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that she has a really good chance of going far, even though she's a former winner, just because like, it's not like a Dan coming in or like a Will or something and you're like, or a Derek or someone and you're like, this winner is a winner. Like, I just feel like she just doesn't come across that way at all. And I'm actually like, I was really, it was between her and Keisha. And I just felt like I was worried about the fact that she's a former winner. And that's really the reason why I didn't pick her. But other than that, like, I'm very impressed with what she's doing so far.
Yeah. And let me say, I totally, that's my concern. But I think that Ian is going to pay that bill when it comes due of a former winner has to go home. And I love Ian. And I came very close to picking him just as the total heart pick. It'd be so fun to root for my friend Ian on this season. But I think that ultimately his threat level is looms very, very large. His R level is through the roof. He was very lucky at points in Big Brother 14. And I think that people are not going to forget how dangerous he can be as a player, where I think that Nicole is going to get all these relationships going. And I think that she's underestimated. I don't think that people look at her as a terrifying player, and I think that she is underrated, and so I think that there is a lot of value, and I could see somebody going to the end with her and thinking, oh, I'll beat in the same way that Paul did way back when, I'll beat Nicole, the people aren't going to give it to her again, and then what do you know, she's a two-time winner.
Yeah. And she knows to make that argument. She's already made it to Ian saying, we can only bring each other to the end because we saw what happened to Dan. He's an amazing player, and he only got one vote against you. I mean, you're deserving, but it's Dan Gieseling. It's because he was a winner that he lost. I guarantee she's going to be making that argument to other non-winners. Look, I know I can't beat you in the end. I'm a winner. I think that Nicole and Ian are completely flip-flopped in terms of reputation and threat level versus like actual threat level. Ian is probably seen as more threatening than he should be, and Nicole is definitely seen as much less threatening than she should be. And personally, I fault the Brents of the world who have spent so long
vilifying her,
knocking her game, not respecting it, and allowing this perception to go through that she's not this dangerous player. But she is in this cast of All Stars, and in just a couple of in just like 24 hours has shown herself to be a very dangerous player. She's hooked up with Ian. She's in there with Cody. She's got Danny. She's working on splitting up the house. Like, she is one of the more active players, completely not caught yet. Of course, it's been 24 hours, but she is somebody who is much more dangerous than the other people in the house are accounting for in this moment. And that's pretty big. She is definitely a dangerous player in this game and somebody who could go very far and do very well.
Okay.
I mean, the reason why we can't decide between either Rat Hole or Snake Hole is because she's both. She will snitch and she will slither away right afterwards. Okay. I feel like, yeah, she was, if it wasn't, I was in between her and Christmas and I went with the holidays, but I really feel like Nicole, I mean, she's already doing this is what she does. And it's just a matter of like, is she going to get called out on it this time? Because and even so, she got called out on it in BB18 and then she still won. So it's like you either take her out and like have the mission and have the tunnel vision to get her out, or she skates by. So it's not a bad pick.
I also want to plant my flag on one more thing. I said this before. I think that whenever this season ends, I think a lot of the fans turn around and do a 180 and stan Nicole at the end of whenever she comes out of this. People put some respect on her name after she finishes up her third time here.
I don't know about that.
There will always be detractors. There are people that just flat out don't respect Nicole. And I do think a large amount of it has to do with the fact that she is a woman and she plays in a way that people don't find palatable.
Can we talk about that real quick? I'm not trying to throw shade at her, but like already it's been 24 hours. What is the thing that people always say about Nicole Franzel? That she totally dogs all the women, okay? She can't be trusted to work with women. Like 24 hours in the Big Brother All-Star house, and god damn it, she's already screwing over the women. Seriously, trying to tell Cody, hey, I'm gonna make a woman's alliance, and I'm gonna make a woman's alliance, and then I'll come back and tell you all the information. Like, that's not being for women, Taryn. That's not doing anything. That's not
Look,
doing shit
maybe she
for
told
women.
The women she's gonna make an alliance with Cody
that's
and come
not,
back and tell
no,
them all the information.
That is not what happened. And like already, like I saw Taryn earlier today tweeting about the fact that Nicole's like trying to make a women's alliance. I'm like, you really fell for that because you didn't see. I mean, I'm not coming for you in a way like
fell
you,
for that. Brent, she was
you missed
talking
the first
to
part
Cody.
Of the conversation.
I didn't miss the first part of the conversation. You missed the proper context of the tweet.
Yes.
obviously, I didn't think that she was keeping it a secret from
Nicole
Cody because
play
she was
you today,
saying
Taryn?
It to Cody.
Well, my point is like it's not real if she's telling Cody about it. Cody is by definition not a woman.
Here's the thing is I just think that like if I were Nicole and I was known for like going against women and doing all that, that is not the move I'd be making. I'd be like, okay, now this time I need to go in the house. and like work with the girls and like try, you know, see what I can do. But like, I mean, immediately, like day one, it's like, come on, like, you know, you're already like disliked outside by a lot of the fans because of that. Like, and then you go in there and do the one thing that people dislike. It's like
the one thing.
It is frustrating.
But
it's
here's
a smart
what,
move,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, and here's what she'll do.
What works.
This is the Nicole Franzl jujitsu that she will. If somebody calls her out on, hey, Nicole, that did you try to screw over the women in the house? Like, oh my God, you guys, that's what people always say about me, and it's not fair that people have that perception. And then, like, she'll turn it into being the victim of that false accusation and get people to feel bad for her, and she'll use it to her advantage.
It's frustrating because I want her to work with Danny. I mean, like, they already seem to have a really good relationship. If they can work together, that'd be great. I just don't want her selling Danny out to Cody.
I think that's a really good cover for her to be working with Danny. I think it kind of you know, extinguishes a lot of the, oh, I can't work with women thing. But I still think that the one thing that is going to, like, the one person that is not going to fall for it is Davon. She's just not going to. If there is a situation in which the women are being...
Like, 5 minutes ago, she's like, because she's trying to work with Davon, and she's like, I don't know about Davon. I'm not sure about her. It's been 24 hours.
Look,
24 hours.
We're talking about drama outside the house. We already know that there was a former house guest that the last text that they sent to Davon before she went into sequester was, do not trust Nicole. So I just don't think that that's going to pan out for her.
Is that
this
a
time.
Blind item, or do we know who did that?
No, it was Parker from Big Brother 9 who sent that. Yeah, that's not a blind item. We know who said that.
Yeah.
And look, like, I want to be clear. Like, Nicole plays very underhandedly, 100%. But there are lots of people who have played the game very underhandedly. Lots of people that have been rats, that have been rat floaters, that have played in ways that people don't like. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they are always doing what you think they're doing. And in this particular situation, I mentioned this before, like, I don't think that Nicole wants Danny to go. I think that Nicole heard Cody saying, I think Danny is dangerous, and talking about potentially, like, making it seem like he might put her up on the block. And she was saying, no, don't worry about Danny. I've got her covered. I'll let you know everything that we do.
Well, why not just say, no, don't worry about Danny. Like, I've got that covered, like, whatever. Instead of saying, I'm going to make a girls alliance, and I'm going to then rat those girls out to you, everything that they do. I feel like there's a difference between saying, like,
Cody hears about the girls alliance from Davon.
But, like, I don't think she genuinely wants to work with Cody.
Also,
I don't even think, like, why not just say, like, no, Danny's cool. We can bring her in to work with us or something, rather than, like, oh, I'm just going to, like, go behind her back and just, like...
Because at the end of the day, her loyalty is not with Danny or with Cody. It's with herself. And what she's doing is she's setting up two different sides.
She's Littlefinger.
It benefits her.
No, and that's fine. But I don't like the idea of being, like, I'm going to create a girls alliance and do this to the girls because they're girls. Like, if she said, like, I'm going to, like, here's this person, this person, this person, like, I'm going to form some sort of thing with them, like, on this side of the house, and then I'll, like, rat them out to you. I feel like, to me at least, that's really different than just saying, like, I'm going to form a girls alliance and do this to the girls. It just seems like against girls,
Melissa,
in particular.
If it's any consolation, next week, if a woman is HOH, she will sell out Cody to the woman who is in charge.
We can only hope.
And he is the HOH next week. So it's not, she'll go to where the power is. She doesn't care.
And that's fine. I just didn't like the idea. I don't like the idea of bringing up specifically that you're going to create a girls alliance in order to destroy it. Like, I just think that there's a difference between specifically calling out women and that you're going to go against these women, and versus, like, hey, there's a few people on this other side of the house that I think I can work with. Like, it seems targeted. And this is, like, coming from someone who, like, I was about to pick Nicole. I think she's doing well. I think she's a good player. I mean, like, I'm impressed with her gameplay. This has nothing to do with that. It honestly is just, like, it rubs me the wrong way when I see somebody talk about how they're just going to, like, go against the girls. Like,
you know, it's really not,
like,
fair that this girl from RHAP is saying that I'm against women. I'm tired of hearing this.
I think, again, like, you guys are acting like she's setting this up so that she can get rid of all three of these people. If this works out, 100% she'll work with these people. She's set up best in this alliance. Like, if her and Danny can run this with four women, then that's great for her. If it breaks up, then great. She's now with Cody or whatever, and she can pull Danny with her. Like, it sets up a bunch of different options for her. It's not like we're locked down in one path.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Look, you could either like shake your fist at the computer screen for 85 days or get on the Franzel train. Get on board. It's going to be fun to watch.
It's more fun to shake
watch,
my fist at the
yeah, screen. Watch
I,
Littlefinger.
I kind of wish I picked her because then I could like root for her yeah. instead of being like upset.
I just need her to just like just own that stuff. Like don't do this whole fake like thing where it's like, oh,
own it.
This is what yeah. Yeah. Like, my intention. She's already doing that stuff with Devon, telling Danny, like, oh, I just wanted to see who betrayed who. Girl, get the hell out of here. Like,
no, I would love to see her own it. It would be a different thing for me if she would just like own all of this. Like, yeah. I just feel like she doesn't.
If well, she looked at the camera, like earlier today, Devon looked at the camera and was like, guys, I'm trying to do what you want. I know you want this to happen. If Nicole Franzel looked at the camera, was like, I know I'm coming for your faves, but sorry about
so,
it.
Yeah,
like,
Brent,
if she did that,
that's
like,
the
oh,
Nicole
yes.
paradox. So yeah. she plays like a villain. But wants to be loved like a hero. But the trick to unlock that would be to camera give us
yes.
that I'm being the villain and people yeah. would fall in love. But
I would be,
she wants
I
to be perceived as always the good guy, victim, hero, underdog, but play like a villain.
I completely agree. Like, I don't like that this is how she operates either. I would love for her to own her own villainy because I think that would be great. I think it's very frustrating when I talked to her about her Big Brother 18 game. And like, she talked about the moves that she made, but not in a way that was very satisfying to me. And it was frustrating. Like,
very.
I don't like watching her as a player nearly as much as I do a lesser player who is able to like fully actualize what they're doing and vocalize what they're doing. But the reason like I get on this like other side of like I'm ending up being the person like defending Nicole is that I think the criticism goes way too far sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
She's just playing a game, guys. Like, let's chill a little bit.
No, I don't think Nicole is like a bad person. I don't think Nicole, like all the personal stuff against Nicole, I am absolutely not for that. And I think that I like you guys are saying, I like the villain aspect of it if she would just own it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not going to happen. So get on board. It'll be fun. All right. All right. Two picks are left. Brent and Taryn of three people left on the board.
Yeah.
Ian, Janelle, and David.
Oh, I'm in such a bad spot here. Like, let me tell you my thought process, right? Okay, so I really want to pick Ian, okay? But like, I don't want Janelle to go undrafted. And I'm afraid that if I pick Ian, that Terrence is going to pick David and leave freaking Janie off the board, which I don't even think is acceptable. Like, how is that even acceptable for that to happen? So I'm like, I'm thinking maybe I should pick Janelle. But then on the other hand, in my heart of hearts, do I feel like she's going to win? I'll say this. In order for me to pick Janelle, it would have to be involve a story where somehow she, like, Kayser goes home, Danny goes home, and then somehow she slides under the radar. But that is a really specific set of circumstances in order for that to happen.
Isn't that the exact reason why you picked Bailey?
That was one person. And like, you know, like, it's easier for one thing to happen instead of for two things to happen.
There's two things have to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So... you know, I'm sorry, guys. I want to pick Janie, but I just can't.
Okay.
I gotta pick Ian. Yeah, I gotta pick Ian. And
I can't believe you're gonna leave Janelle undrafted.
I know.
The Big Brother 14th pick goes to Ian.
I just think that he has a much better shot to win the game than Janelle does. Overall, I don't think that people are necessarily coming for him. I do think that people forget how good he is. And also, like, he's a really charming guy once he gets his foot in the door. That's what a lot of people forget about Big Brother 14, was that, you know, he was seen as awkward in the beginning, and he's definitely a little awkward right now. But Ian's just such a lovable guy once you get to know him, and like, he can stop being so nervousy all the time. And once that happens, I would not want to compete against him from a social or a competitive standpoint.
Well, the great thing for Ian was that this season, you know, it was very extenuating circumstances to get this production together. They were able to grab Ian's photo from LinkedIn for his bio. So that was great.
That was great, yes. And obviously, I have a fondness for Ian because he was actually the guest on Thursday nights with RHAP for like two or three seasons in the early going. And it was a lot of fun podcasting with him. He's really thought a lot about the game. I'm shocked to see him back on an all-star season. I thought that he had left Big Brother behind. But the fact that he's here, like, it shows me that he's serious again about winning. And again, I think he's going to survive the first week. And if he does, honey, watch out.
Yeah, okay. I'm very excited to see Ian play, although I'm very nervous about his ability to fit in with the house. I'm not really seeing the connections there, which concerns me a little bit. Also, I realized last night that he's younger than me. That's crazy. I thought he was older. I don't know. It just, like, I tried to do the math in my head and it just, like, was not working. And then I was like, wait a second.
Right.
You're 29? He's still only 29.
Well, that's weird because I always saw him as younger than me, but he's actually older than me.
I always thought before he was younger than, like, in his previous season, but now it's like, oh, he's coming back. He hasn't played in so long. It's been such a long time. Now he has gray in his hair. It's like, this guy's an older guy. And now it's like, oh, wait, like, if he's an older guy, then
can I ask a question? Melissa, do you feel like that the gray hair is on purpose?
Do you think he dyed it, or do you think that?
I don't think he dyed it, but I think he purposely didn't dye it. I mean, it's possible that, like, maybe that's just his look, but I don't know. But, like,
the more I look at it, it just looks a little frosted.
Well, it does seem so. Like, he probably was like, I want to make sure they know that, like, I'm older, because it's like all stars. So many people are coming back. Like, I don't want them thinking of me as like the young kid anymore.
Yeah. It is one spot. I feel like that if he was going to salt his hair, that I think that he would do more. He would do like more of a Clooney look.
He would say that in his intro package, though, wouldn't he? He would admit to that.
I dyed my hair on purpose. Yeah,
it's very distinguished. I like it.
Yeah,
it's a great look.
Yeah.
Wow, Cody and Ian are the same age. That's crazy.
Yeah. Ain't that crazy?
That's wild. I like it. It doesn't register in my mind just because he played so long ago.
Yeah, you feel like that Cody seems older.
No, I think Ian seems older.
Because Ian won when he was so young, right?
Right. That's, like, the thing is, he was 21 when he won. And so, like, it to me, it feels like he should be older now.
Mm-hmm.
But because I feel like when I watched this season, I kept thinking in my head, like, I must have been like 14 years old, but really I was not 14. I was older than him. I was like 22.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
Okay. All right, Ian Terry, he's got his work cut out for him, but what a great story it would be for Ian to be two-time winner of Big Brother. Be very exciting. All right, so Taryn, the final bit of drama comes down to you. David, who has a total of now 3 days playing time in his Big Brother career, versus Janelle, who has 3 seasons under her belt.
Well, I mean, if we think about this logically, it's mostly Brent's fault that this is happening. But to pick between Janelle and David, I mean, here's the thing. The person I don't pick is going to go to the audience. So I feel like I would like the audience in the chat to let me know who you would prefer to have of these two.
Who do you prefer to have, Chad? Yes. Who do you prefer for Taryn to leave off the board so you guys can have him or her?
Could you make the case for both of these picks, Taryn?
For both of these picks, I think that Janelle, if she manages to survive this week, I think she's depending on who else also survives, we'll be able to make some connections. She's got Memphis, maybe. She's got Keisha, maybe. That's good for her. If there's kind of like a flip against the Cody Tyler side of things, which she might try to push, that could be good for her. If she is, you know, not having to win competitions herself, but her allies are, then she might, her threat level might come down a little bit. I think those are all good things for her. But she really just, she needs to find a crew and be able to insulate herself in that crew and then, get to the end, you know, how she does. David, on the other hand, is in almost the opposite position. He's not a big threat at all. And he has made a bond with Tyler, seemingly. He's been talking to Christmas, who is also connected to Tyler. He is in decently well with Cody. He's in this other crew, far from the biggest target in that group. Mm-hmm. The weakness there is that he doesn't know the show very well, but he's surrounded by a lot of people that do. And I think they're going to want to bring him far in the game. And I do think they might underestimate him when it comes to his willingness to stab them in the back and you know, take the win for himself. Like, a David and Christmas final two doesn't seem completely out of the realm of possibility to me. And I think that it's possible that he picks that win up. I'm not like super high on either of their chances, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
But I, you know, there's always a path, and this is a very open field, I think.
It's an open field. Okay. So I know people want to hear the update from the live feed. So, Taryn, we're going to need you to make a decision.
Okay. The audience would prefer to have Janelle. So I'm going to be very kind to the audience and let them have Janelle. And I will take David. I will not let David, the first boot of the first night of season 21, go undrafted.
Yes, let the record show that Taryn passed on Janelle because the chat requested her.
Yes.
The chat drafted Janelle.
Yes, the chat wanted Janelle.
Taryn technically
Janelle.
Had the 16th pick.
Yes.
Okay.
I ceded my spot for you guys.
Okay.
See, well, now Taryn will win. Like, if one of his people wins, then he wins. If Janelle wins, Taryn wins for giving the audience Janelle.
No, the audience wins.
Okay. All right. So David is the pick. I'm kind of higher on David. I feel like that I considered taking him earlier in the draft if he was if there weren't other people that I had higher. That I just think he's an unknown. I mean. We really don't know what David is like as a player, and that he doesn't inspire a ton of confidence, but you know, if he's around and he has like 40, 45 days to sort of like learn the ropes from the all time greats, who knows what David is capable of. So I think he's an X factor. I think you're right that, Janelle, hard to see how she could, you know, go. It's such a big target. Again, I've called her the Boston Rob of this season, all through the hypothetically speaking series, that she could even like get off to a hot start a la Boston Rob and control things for a while, but eventually nobody's gonna ever lose sight of Janelle. And she also her game is like a big flashy game. I think she's gonna get caught up eventually. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Let's review the teams real quick, and then we've got a live feed update for you as well. All right, we talked about Amon's team Christmas Day with Saint Nick. It was Davon. It was Nicole. It was Christmas. We saw Melissa's team. Mm-hmm. Melissa has the team of BB10 plus Enzo. It's Memphis,
it's
Enzo,
like old school.
And Keisha. Team old school. Okay.
I like, I'm regretting my picks already just because I'm like, I don't have any variety. It's literally like, oh God, ugh, whatever.
Okay. All right. Rob's team starts with Kevin Campbell, then add to it Cody and Franzel. Okay, that's Rob's team. You have Brent's team. Brent walks away with Bailey, with Danny, and then with Ian. And then finally, we have Taryn's team. Taryn walks away with Kacer, Tyler, and David. That's your draft here. And you, the listener, walk away with Janelle. So very fun stuff here on the draft tonight. We'll see how it plays out 83 days from now. All right. Now, we got a live feed update to talk about. Okay. Let's go ahead. Looking forward to all of the people on Twitter to let us know who won the draft. We'll follow all this stuff all throughout the season. But let's go ahead. And we have an update from the safety competition has been held. For whatever reason, you don't want to know this until Sunday night, but wanted to see the draft. This is your opportunity to bounce out now. Taryn, well, you won't watch the live feed update because that's not your thing. But join us after the episode late on Sunday whenever we get to it because of golf. So until then, for everybody else, let's listen to a live feed update.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. Live feed update time. All right. We have results from the safety suite competition. All right. Taryn, I know you have been watching side eye throughout the last 30 minutes or so. Do you want to give us the update?
Yeah, you guys doubted Kacer, but he's safe. You can't take him out. Safety suite.
Kacer.
What up, Kacer?
What up, Kacer? Finally get to
Kacer
say that.
Yes.
Won the safety competition and saved Janelle.
He saved Janie. Oh,
all
my
right.
Gosh. So exciting.
All right. Mm-hmm. So
making that pick not quite as weird anymore, guys.
Okay. Now, do we know the rules of this, that he saved her for this week? He used the power and then it's done.
And yes, and they both competed, so that I do not believe that they can compete again, correct?
Really? I heard that Janelle actually didn't compete.
I thought that she did. Maybe we can get confirmation on that
there
because
were,
they were talking about the fact that they both that
yeah.
neither
yeah,
one of them went over 25
did,
minutes.
Yeah.
They were talking about the fact that neither one of them could go over 25 minutes.
She did compete.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so this competition will be for the first 3 weeks. We'll have this. Is that what we're expecting? Okay. All right. So now we talked about a few different scenarios of sort of like, okay, this is sort of like, okay, the fallout. Should Kacer and Janelle be off the block? When we talked about Nicole Anthony, is she now somebody who's in the crosshairs, or do we expect something else?
I mean,
or too soon to tell.
So you in danger, girl.
The person who is most in danger was always Keisha. And it does sound like Keisha is going to be a nomination. I do not know that there has been the conversation is currently happening between Nicole Franzel and
Cody. They are not happy. Cody and Nicole Franzel are like, Nicole's already gone to Cody to complain about how did they even know that they needed to compete in that? Why did they compete in that? Did somebody tell them that they were in danger? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. Now, obviously, I have not been watching myself, but I have seen some speculation that Cody is kind of talking around Danny again, that he mentioned her before and then got that kind of vibe. But again, with Nicole there, that may be enough to prevent that. But I'm not sure who the other option would be at this point. They mentioned Christmas, and we know that Cody was concerned about Christmas, but he's no longer very concerned about Christmas.
I'll just say really quickly that it's almost like all the people that we're not, like all the people that we don't really stand very much, like, you know.
Who's we? Who's we?
Well, like the most of Twitter, Rob. Okay. But like Enzo
Leave my Nicole Stanzel out of this, friend.
Enzo and,
speak
and
for yourself.
Christmas and Franzel and Cody and Tyler are all working together. Just stop it. Stop it. Why they got to work together? I'm looking forward to that. Okay. Yeah, I'm speaking for the audience. What about it, Angus? Anyway.
Okay. All right. So Anything else that we want to address about this tonight? Melissa and Aman, you haven't really weighed in on this news.
I'm very happy that Kacer and Janelle are safe. I'm very nervous now about Keisha, so we got to keep her in there. And of course, we found out this information literally after I said Keisha's name that I was drafting her, but whatever.
Yeah, right after.
I literally was like, I don't have to really worry about her because Kacer and Janelle are like the main targets. So, oh, well, there goes that. But, you know, I want Keisha to stay. I'm a little concerned. I'm actually concerned because it does seem like people are going to catch immediately onto the fact that Nicole and Cody are working together. So it does seem a little odd that they're like keeping so close, especially because they were on the same season. So people already associate them together. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. But
okay. All right.
Yeah, it's a little dicey. It's a little dicey now that Keisha is exposed. And of course, like now that we've had this conversation, I'm feeling a little bit less confident in the Nicole Anthony pick because she's obviously someone that could be a backup. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yes, Brent.
I was just going to say, like, you know, it really, like, it's been 24 hours and it doesn't take much to get the Big Brother streets going because I see in my Twitter updates that Cody, the current HOH, is calling Kacer and Janelle stupid for playing too hard. Bitch, you were going to nominate them. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
He apparently mentioned Ian as a potential second nomination. And but Nicole has also pushed back against that. So it seems like they're really
circling. Nicole's the HOH.
It's a very fluid situation at this hour. It's going to be an exciting night on the feeds, no matter what happens.
Taryn, can somebody go talk to Cody that's not named
Puya
Nicole Franzel?
We'll be live at 11 a.m. to tell you exactly how it all breaks down. Taryn, is there anything else you want to add now?
No, it seems like Ian, Nicole Anthony even, I don't think that name's come up yet, but
I see a lot of Kevin in the chat.
You mentioned Kevin.
Because I see a lot of not Kevin, and then like they're talking about Keisha and Kevin potentially.
Okay. Yeah, Cody just said he thinks that he can like smooth things over with Kevin, so.
We don't need to react to the conversation in real time.
I'm sorry.
We still have a whole entire day potentially to get to the nominations. We still
There's
have the
no
power
good outcome
veto.
Here. Like, we're not going to get, like, whoever goes home first, it's going to hurt. It really
is. We're trying to build suspense.
It's not going
to
be Christmas.
For the live feed update tomorrow.
And it's not going to be Nicole Franzel.
Any one of these names.
Here's your good outcome. You have a Big Brother season that you're talking about right now. So no matter how this first week turns out, that we're all still very lucky that they managed to pull this off, no matter who goes home in week one. So again, it's very, very exciting that even a month ago that we wondered, I don't think that they're going to be able to pull this off. And now here we are. So very exciting. This was a great draft tonight. Of course, so much fun getting together with everybody. Okay. Melissa, where can people follow you and hear more about what you're doing?
It's Melissa with 3 A's on all social media.
Okay. Is there any feedback you'd like from the listeners after tonight?
No.
Okay. All right. Aman, how about you?
Where can I find me? Or do you want, feedback?
Do you have feedback from Melissa? No.
Do you have feedback for me? Did I do okay?
Aman, where can people see more about what you're doing?
Oh, you can find me at Aman Adwin, as per usual, on Twitter.
If you're a Big Brother fan and you're not following Aman, he is one of the great Big Brother follows. Do yourself a favor this summer. Make sure you're following Aman and keeping up with everything that Aman has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Thanks for the shout-out, Rob.
You got it. You got it. Of course, Brent, he's an acquired taste on the social media at One Lucky Gay.
Yes. Listen, I'm glad that Melissa came for Nicole Franzel because people always expect it from me. They're like, oh, there Brent's coming on about Nicole Franzel again. Like, so I was really glad that Melissa decided to spill the real tea about Nicole Franzel. Let y'all know what's going on. Yeah,
I'm a fan of hers in terms of I think she plays a good villain game, but I just don't like the women stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't either, for the record.
Yeah, neither does she. Okay, Brent was on Twitter.
You can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out O-N-E, and I'll be there.
Yes.
So come find me.
Did I give you your plugs?
Armstrong Taran on Twitter, okay. twitch.tv/TaranArmstrong.
There's so much to get through. Sorry about that. Don't want to end the show yet.
They hear it every day.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Taran, could you give people an update on the schedule of the next couple of days? Because in addition to the live feed update the next couple of mornings, I know you have another show coming up over the weekend.
Yes. So tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, we'll update you on everything that happens today on the live feeds. And then on Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be doing a roundtable. We've typically done one roundtable per week that, you know, balloons to 4 hours an episode. So I thought, let's just kind of split that into two different ones, into two different places in the week. So Saturday at 9 p.m., we're going to be doing our first roundtable of the week to talk about everything that's been happening and have some fun stuff to do there as well. And then on Tuesday, we'll have the second roundtable, which will include the Stockwatch, where we will kick off the Stockwatch game, and you can play along. There is a website and everything that we will help point you to if you want to play along this season. It's very fun, so check it all out.
Yeah, I saw Bill Hall in the chat. He's like, the round tables have become too big to fail. we have to split them up. Now, just to be clear, I will not be on the round table. Obviously, your boy works on the weekends. Melissa, I don't know if you'll be there either.
I'm on the Tuesday round table as well.
Okay, yeah, I'll be on the Tuesday round table, but the weekend round table will be other people from, is it the class of 2020?
We'll have a number of Big Brother voices that
all
are going to be...
Excellent. I am so excited about that.
Coming to visit on the roundtable. Then we will also have on Sunday night, we'll be back here live after the episode whenever it ends on our Sunday night show for a recap. And then on Mondays that I have a still working on a name. We'd love to hear some feedback, but this we're going to do basically like a 2-3 hour block. We're going to hear from some alumni guests like Eric Stein. That's when we won't do a proper Summer of Stein, but we'll hear from guests like Eric on that show and a number of our contributors and take some live calls as well. On Mondays, I'll have that show for you in addition to all of the recap. So,
By the way,
yes,
I don't mean to interrupt you, but Rob, did you see that Danny Donato? Danny Briones was on the feeds last night, and she said she gave it up for Eric Stein. Man, she said like he was totally robbed. He should have been brought back on the All Stars. Like she was a big fan of Eric Stein.
I mean, they're very close.
They're friends.
They're very close friends.
I know. I was just glad that she said it on the feeds because you know what irritated the hell out of some people.
I wouldn't be surprised if she talks about Eric quite a bit this season. I think they're very, very close. All right. Of course. Also, we've been trying to get the word out about our brand new addition to the Rehap Ups feed. Be sure to check out our 90 Day Fiance Rehap Up hosted by Puya Zambakili. You can also catch him on the live feed update tomorrow morning. We have a brand new podcast feed for that. That's at robinsonwebsite.com/90dayfiance if you are looking for that sort of thing, if you like enjoy that show. Of course, also we've got plenty of other shows on our robinsonwebsite.com, including Tough as Nails. If you load it in an hour early, expecting to watch Big Brother and watch Tough as Nails by accident, hey, we got a recap for you. Myself, Jessica Lisa, Mike Bloom covered Tough as Nails as well. That should be up in your podcast feed, which you can subscribe to at robisawebsite.com/iTunes, or for our Big Brother only podcast feed, robisawebsite.com/BBpodcast. Of course, all this podcasting made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. You can find out more about everything we're doing, our patron-only podcast feed. We've got Facebook Friday coming up tomorrow, and everything in our Facebook community, our Discord community, and more at robhaswebsite.com/patron. And if you want to support the show in another way that doesn't cost you any money, head on over to ratethispodcast.com/RHAP and leave us a honest rating in the Apple Podcast Store. Appreciate you guys listening. Enjoy the feeds and the Big Brother. We'll be back with more soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.